Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held. Until every battle's won and every song is sung. Until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Attention, baby boomers of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
By now, your little foray into middle age has introduced you to presbyopia, a loss of close focus. And you've probably run to the drugstore to try on reading glasses. By trial and error. Don't try to be your own eye doctor. Get the reading glasses you really need. See your optometrist. Or you could just learn to live with the headaches and the poor fitting glasses and the nausea.
Fear itself. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream. This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting up. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Welcome to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. Glad to have you with us here on 1200 WPTK Fort Myers and the surrounding area. And also, hello to everybody out on the Internet all over the world. So glad to have you with us this afternoon. My, oh my, we've got a busy, busy show for you today. We're going to talk about current events, naturally, as we always do. A lot going on in the country. Hopefully, we won't talk about Scott Peterson today. Hopefully, we won't talk about Kobe Bryant. And hopefully, we sure won't talk very much, at least, about Martha Stewart and all that deal. Hey, one thing I do want to mention before I forget, right off the bat today, many of you are well aware of our New York Bureau, right? Jeff up there in New York is having his review, his Question W review going on right now. I understand it's playing to great audiences. And I just want to, and I'll let everybody know again about this during the show, but he's going to be on the Laura Flanders Show tonight live in an interview at 9:30. 9:30 on Laura Flanders. That's on Air America for all you folks that don't know. AirAmericaRadio.com. You can get it on your internet and, of course, your local stadium. If you live near one of the stations that Air America is on. So we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later, but did want to let you know right off that Jeff is fired up about his review program, and I hear it's great, and we'll be hearing a lot more about that before time goes on. So, welcome to everybody. Of course, many things in the news this week. Mr. Bush, as always, leading the news this week, and I think the big flap over the NAACP convention, his failure to appear before them, actually is big news. And really, how much more blatant could the Republicans be about their party's obvious racism? And you know, in George W. Bush, we have the first president since Warren Harding. And this administration seems to be honest, moral, and Christian, just like Warren Harding was. And he's the first one since Warren Harding not to address the NAACP during his term in office. And notice I said term, because this guy's going to be just like his daddy, like father, like son, in one term and done. And Bush's snub of the NAACP just points out that his party and his administration is the most racist group of politicians since Lester Maddox and Sheriff Bull Connors. Think about what they've done for the minorities so far during his administration. He took a strong stand against affirmative action. He proposed massive funding cuts to the Section 8 housing program. He failed to adequately fund the No Child Left Behind Act. He got all the press, good press off of that, and then just to hell with it. He cut Head Start and the after-school programs to the bone. The gap in home ownership rates between white and minority has grown wider than ever, and minority unemployment is up, and Bush has pushed for tax cuts that have done very little for low-income minorities. Then he totally snubs La Raza, the largest national Hispanic organization, for the fourth time. And now a fourth snub to the NAACP. And if all that weren't enough, of course, a lot of you remember on Dr. King's birthday last year, Bush stops and makes a 20-second visit to Dr. King's grave so that he can charge his trip off to the taxpayers, and then goes to $1.5 million fundraiser in Atlanta. And a lot of you remember, I remember seeing it on TV, Reverend Timothy McDonald, I believe his name, said it was the epitome of an insult. That's the record of a compassionate conservative for sure. It's the record of a party who preaches one thing and does another. They're the ultimate hypocrites on racial issues. And you know, I know. They love to put Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice up as examples of their being fair to minorities. But I'm sorry, but Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, neither one identifies with the black community, or does the black community identify with them. It just doesn't wash. And, you know, the more you think about it and you take a good look into it, how many black faces are there in Congress on the Republican side of the aisle? One? Two? Three? Five? Seven? Now, try zero. Zero. This is a party which doesn't begin to understand the plight of minorities in this nation. It's a party which, on the whole, doesn't give a damn about minorities. You see, the word minority doesn't fit into the lexicon of the Republican Party. They don't do anything for the minorities, and therefore, as evidenced by that fact, about 90% of the black voters vote for Democrats. The minorities, just plain and simple, don't identify with the Republican Party. Why should they? They've had no reason to. But perhaps the worst part of this whole sorry episode is the fact that, once again, the Bush administration is telling outright outrageous lies about the, I mean, these people can't speak the truth no matter what happens. They can't tell the straight end of it about their refusal to speak to the NAACP convention this week. First, they said they couldn't make it because of a, quote, scheduling conflict. Yeah, right, a scheduling conflict. Scheduling conflict, but would not specify the conflict with the six-day convention. Let's see, on Saturday during the convention, Bush had to attend a T-ball game at the White House. That was real important. And on Tuesday, he found time to once again promote the big fallacy that Hussein and Al-Qaeda were chummy. And then on Tuesday, he was in racially diverse Duluth, Minnesota, which is 97% white. And then, after being challenged and found out about his pitiful scheduling conflict excuse, Karl Rove and his friends started to float the story that the NAACP is openly hostile toward him. Gee, if they are, I wonder why. NAACP CEO Mifumi recently said, and I'll quote him, "I've written the president every year for four straight years just for a meeting, just to say, here's our agenda. What do you think about it? Tell us yours," unquote. And, well, quote again, and every letter I got back from the White House said, quote, the president would love to, but he just doesn't have time. For 4 years in a row, he hasn't had time to speak to or answer to answer letters from the head of the NAACP. Wow, what an effort. And yes, this administration is real friendly to the minorities in this country, really friendly. Actually, only about as friendly as the Grand Dragon of the KKK has been toward the minorities, not a much better record. It's a fact Bush has to live with, and obviously he thinks he can. He's totally abandoned the black population of the nation. I guess he doesn't need their vote at all. And isn't it shameful that the President of the United States, leader of the free world, has a policy that is of some of the people, by some of the people, and for some of the people? I think it's just shameful. Yes, sir, Lester Maddox and Bull Connors would be right proud. They sure would. That's my opinion on the NCAA debacle this week. I'd love for you to call me and give your ideas on it. Be glad to hear from you, whether you be from the left or the right. And, of course, our phone numbers are 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And locally, in Lee County, 479-5540. I would love to hear your ideas on this. And, of course, taking this a little bit further, the Civil Rights Commission said Thursday it's going to ask the Department of Justice. You know, sometimes, I love it living here in Florida. I do. I mean, it's a wonderful place to live. But there are some things that are just plain embarrassing. When you say you live in Florida, there's some things that are just, and Jeb Bush is one of them. And the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights said Thursday is going to ask the Department of Justice to investigate whether Florida's use of a flawed database to remove felons from the voter rolls was a deliberate attempt to block some voters from casting votes. And it was so odd, there weren't any, Hispanics in Florida tend to be Republican. So there weren't any any Hispanics taken off of it. No, there weren't any Hispanics removed from the voting rolls. Many blacks, and it's just a mess. Just an embarrassing mess. I hate it when I hear all the Florida jokes about him voting here. You know, we've got a history here. Former Secretary of State Catherine Harris after the 2000 presidential election. And if you remember, trying to think exactly how they said it, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, they put out an assessment that said Harris and Bush were grossly derelict in fulfilling their responsibilities. Isn't that nice? Isn't that a nice indictment of your so-called leaders here in this state? It's just one thing after another in Florida over racial issues. I think now they're going to abandon some of these votes. And of course, the commission also called on Accenture, the company that helped develop the database of potential felons. And of course, you all know who owns Accenture. It's a company that is good buddies with the Bush family. Oh my gosh, what a coincidence. Just happened to be good friends with the Bush family. My goodness. And the state paid them nearly $2 million to develop the central voter file and to create a way to screen rolls for felons. And it continues to be a big mess, a big bone of contention here in Florida. And I'm wondering if we're going to have a fair election here again. Of course, I do know that many organizations are going to have people here watching the polling places, so it's going to be interesting. Don't forget you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Locally, 479-5540, and in Collier County, 263-6570. Going to go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the show. I don't know. I think we might have lost Diane. Do we have Diane? I'm looking at our producer here. Babe Biz, do we have Diane on the line? Is Diane there? No. I guess not. Bill, are you with us?
No.
Hi, Bill.
Hi there. How are you today?
Not bad. What's on your mind?
I somewhat disagree with your opening statement about Mr. Bush and his relations with the NAACP. Now, I'm not a Bush supporter. I think the guy is maybe one step above Black Howe.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, the NAACP has not been exactly fair in their statements about him. And, you know, in retribution, he's saying, well, if you're going to treat me that unfairly and make those kind of statements, then I'm not going to come and play with you.
Well, how's he ever going to get the people on his side unless he bends? I mean,
I'm sure that the NAACP actually represents the black community. Now, I happen to be a white guy, so I really don't know. But I think many of the things that I hear and see about them would offend me if I was black. For example, they're down on Mr. Cosby, and I think Mr. Cosby's statements about family values and paying attention to education and keeping a solid family together are absolutely true. And yet these guys treat him like he was dog meat.
Well, now, that I'll disagree with you on that, because I don't think it was just the NAACP. I think the black community really took Bill Cosby to task for what he said.
I disagree with you. I don't think the black community did. I think some black elite who make an enormous amount of money out of being ostensibly black leaders when they're really not.
Well, I know quite a few black people, and I have not heard one of them. Not a single one of them defend Bill Cosby's statements about that. You know, whether you disagree with him or not, I don't know whether or not I do, but I do know my black friends do not agree with Bill Cosby on that. So that's the only thing I have to go on, kind of anecdotal information.
And evaluate your black friends, because I don't know what economic part of the spectrum they belong to, but I can evaluate my black friends. I happen to be in the theatrical industry, and I know a lot of black people. And a lot of black people are saying right on, it's about time that some of the black leaders took a stand on this stuff. Why doesn't Michael Jordan stand up? Why doesn't some of the other black people stand up and say out loud just exactly what Mr. Cosby said? We need to get rid of the crap black rap music that's making light of criminal behavior and encouraging violence and encouraging antisocial behavior, and start emphasizing education, integration into the society, participation, and, you know, I guess we could agree to disagree at that point.
Well, yeah, because a lot of it, you know, as far as the rap music, I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. It's the whole thing about it. I don't like the lyrics. I don't like the beat. I don't like anything about it. I hate for it to be called music, because in my opinion it is not music. That has nothing to do with the cultural end of it. And I think there's cultural differences. You know, I think we, many white people, can't possibly identify with rap music, and you know, we don't really have any right to say whether you know, they should like it or not. I don't like it, you don't like it, but if they like it, that's all well and good. I think
it's, with I don't like rap music.
Well, maybe you do. I don't know, but maybe
I think of people like Ludacris, and I'm thinking of people who are using violence and calling women unfortunate names.
Yeah.
And accusing the.
I don't like that at all. But it's a cultural phenomenon.
Debasing way.
Well, you and I see it that way. I see it that way too. But that's a cultural thing, and it's extremely popular with the folks in the black culture. So, you know, what am I going to say? You shouldn't like this? I mean, I have my opinion on it, and you do too, but we're not going to change an entire culture.
It was popular with the white community back in the 1700s, and that didn't make that right. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's been really popular with parts of society that didn't make that right, and we've since adjusted and adapted. And I think that, again, back to the original point, Mr. Bush's denial of his visit to the NAACP is not as unreasonable as you portray it. Maybe he should go there and try to talk, but I don't think the President of the United States wants to go into a forum where he's probably going to get booed right when he walks on stage, and he's probably going to get heckled at the end of every sentence. That is not the image of a President of the United States.
Well, this president has been very, very careful not to go any place unless the audience has been stacked in his favor. He has been
stacked in his favor. I just said being respectful.
No, no, but I'm saying there's never been a president managed quite like this one as far as speaking engagement. He doesn't go anywhere and speak to anyone unless the audience has been stacked.
You're not correct on that. I happen to be in the theatrical business. I rented equipment.
I don't care what business you're in. You're not going to go someplace and see George Bush get booed because they simply remove people or don't let him in. They manage his audiences completely. They have these zones where they take people and put them in so they won't let them in, even near him. The man has never been around unfriendly audiences at all. I don't care what the theatrical people think. It's a fact that George Bush doesn't go near any crowd that he doesn't think is adoring to him. That's the way they operate.
Mr. James, there hasn't been a candidate that's run for president that hasn't managed the audience in a way to show that.
How many of them have had these free speech zones? Tell me, how many other presidents? None. Got to move on. Thanks for your call. Going to go to Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was on there. I was saying hello.
Oh.
Only by God's hand things work out, though, because I'm right behind that guy now, where I would have been in front of him. He's got to realize that I would much rather hear rap music, even though I don't like it. I find it detestable as well. But I would much rather hear that than hear a lying president with that goes to war with trumped-up reasons. Having our people slaughtered yet today over there, our very finest, yet today. And for what? They say for democracy. Well, we don't even have that in this country anymore. You know, and it's all for a lie. It's all to line their wallets of their friends, because not one of these soldiers could ever even buy one share of Halliburton or Kellogg, Brown, and Root, yet they're over there fighting for them to have their contracts. And Lockheed Martin, you can't buy a share of that.
Well.
But, they've got targets on their backs for them.
Yeah.
But, that's better than rap music. We'll talk about rap music instead of talking about the real terrorists.
Well, I don't like the rap music at all. It's just, it's something it
And I'll tell you another thing. I'm sick of hearing the right on the radio and on the TVs saying that the government doesn't owe the American people jobs. Big corporations don't owe American people jobs. Excuse me, people. You need to check out the billions and billions of corporate welfare that's come out of your hard-working wallets, because they collect it and take it, and then they move overseas to get cheap labor, plus cut out on paying taxes while you're still paying taxes, paying high prices for their products, and then you're not to have a decent wage or a job. And I'm telling you right now, they do owe you jobs.
Well, I just watched the program last night, and we're going to talk about it a little later on in the program. We're going to kind of keep a segment just for it, but talking about the big oil, for example, who's definitely in bed with the Bush administration. The big oil companies have 882 offshore divisions so that they can avoid taxes. And folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but when the big corporations don't pay the taxes that they should be paying, guess who makes it up?
That's right.
Absolutely. Diane, thanks for your call. Do appreciate it. Going to go to Greg in Connecticut. Greg, welcome to the show.
On vacation for a few weeks.
Can you speak up, Greg?
Okay. Is that better now?
Yeah, a little better.
Every time I come in, I call in, there's a problem or something. Anyway, I had a couple points.
Greg, I can't hear you. I don't know if our producers can get the volume up a little louder or not.
Okay. Should I stay on the line, Guy, or? Hello?
Have we got any more volume for Greg?
Hello?
Okay, that's as high as it'll go.
All right, I'll try to really shout.
Okay.
Can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make a couple points. Getting back to that a couple of callers ago when he said that Bush was going to be booed when he went in, I agree with you 100% that they control every single thing that a member of an audience that listens to Bush. But the other thing we have to look at is, why did he get to that state? Why is it that, you know, the most respected civil rights organization in this country, one of the oldest, has issues with Bush? I mean, you mentioned the fact that he did his 32nd visit to Dr. King's grave. On another of Dr. King's birthdays, he brought out a statement against affirmative action. It had to be specifically on that date. You know, there's not a firefighter who will stand next to Bush in New York City. So you have to look at why so many groups can't stand this man. I mean, he's chiseled away at these relationships over a 4-year period.
Yes, he's earned the disrespect they've shown him.
Definitely. I mean, and if you just look at the teachers' organizations throughout the country, I mean, you know, the teachers are called terrorists, and this is a man who was going to have no child left behind. Well, really, it became every teacher left behind. You know, it's so he's just destroyed every single relationship, both abroad and inside this country.
Well, you know, Greg, and like I tried to tell the other gentleman, I don't think he was listening, but where can this man go speak? Take him to any general population audience in the United States, and he's going to get booed right out of the place. There's no place he can go.
Yeah, well, everywhere he goes, it's a show. You know, it's a set-up group of people who are there to applaud. And if you look at them, generally, they're lily white. They'll have one black person that they focus on, like during the State of the Union address about 10 times. But for the most part, it's a pretty lily white crowd.
He even had to do that when he went to Iraq last November for Thanksgiving. They interviewed all the soldiers, and those that interviewed well got in for that photo op, and the rest of them didn't.
Yeah, of course. But anyway, what I wanted to mention was, and this was kind of got buried in the news with the whole...
Speak up a little,
story.
Greg.
Okay, well, one story that kind of got buried in this whole Martha story, and believe me, I'm from Westport, Connecticut. I'm sick of hearing about Martha, is this story about Corinne Brown from Jacksonville. And
yeah.
I don't know if a lot of your listeners have heard about this, but a few days ago she got on the House floor and actually had the courage to say that the 2000 election was stolen. And what they did was they censured her for it, they erased it from the House record, what she said, and they asked her to leave the House building. So that is just utterly disgusting that they would do that. But now we're at the point when an elected representative can have their record removed because the Republicans disagree with it.
Yeah, and you can't say anything on the House floor or the Senate floor unless you're Dick Cheney.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting more and more sounding like Mussolini or something like that. That, you know, this. I mean, as she said, it's not just her that was silenced, but it's the 990,000 people in Jacksonville who she represents.
Right. Right. Well, and make no mistake about it, if there's any place in Florida that feels exactly the way she talked about, it is the folks in Jacksonville, because many, many, many of them were denied their vote during that last election. I mean, it was, I'm not saying they didn't vote, but they didn't get them counted.
Yeah, it's totally disgusting.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Do appreciate it very, very much. We're going to go to Natalie in Fort Myers. Natalie, hello.
Hey, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
Good. This is a local issue that I'm going to talk about, and I'm sure you're aware of it.
Oh, I bet I know what. And wait till Natalie.
Yeah.
Wait till the nation finds out what you're going to talk about here.
Yeah,
folks, let me warn you, I don't think you're going to believe what Natalie has to say, but it's the truth. It is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. We had problems in the last election in Florida with disenfranchising voters and not allowing them to vote and knocking them off the rolls because they were so-called felons, the whole deal. Now, here in Lee County, we are about to have a primary election, and the law in Florida states that if it's a closed primary, in other words, if only members of one party are running in a primary race for office, which is our county commissioners and our sheriff, then the voting is open to all parties. So that way, since there's no other party opposition, the race is decided at the primary race, and this will give everybody a chance to voice their opinion of who they want for sheriff, not a small office, mind you, or county commissioner.
A big office to those around the country. Around the country that don't know about sheriff's departments in Florida.
Yeah, right.
You're talking about a $100 million budget or more.
Oh, absolutely. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. What happens here in Lee County is the last minute, the final day of filing to be eligible to run, some gentleman signed up, non-party, former Republican, that he was going to run as a sheriff as a write-in, which means he doesn't pay filing fees, he doesn't have to go through any of the other procedures that are required of other candidates, and it closes the primary race to the Democrats and the non-party because it becomes not an open primary. So that means there's 160,000 Lee County voters who have been disenfranchised by the simple manipulation of having someone say, oh, I'll be a write-in candidate. Doesn't cost them to do it, doesn't cost them anything, and we are left out in the cold when it comes to choosing our sheriff.
Oh, it's yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
I first read that and I said, this can't be true.
Another gentleman did the same thing in the county commissioner's race. so that we can't choose the commissioner in one of the districts because there's, again, another write-in candidate snuck right in. Not only that, the gentleman that joined the write-in for the county commission had given a donation to one of the commissioners running that he wants to see elected, whom the Democrats would probably not vote for.
And
he came in as a write-in, closes it off to the rest of us, and it's just like you can't believe it.
And folks, for those, again, for those of you around the country, not here locally, again, like she said, this guy that's a write-in, he's a donor to the other candidate.
Yeah.
And the developers, this is this is one of the largest, fastest developing places in the United States, in the top three always. And the developers, you know, they decide the election with
right.
their money.
You can explain it a little clearer than I can, Guy, because I'm so angry I don't know what I'm saying. But the whole point of my call was there will be a protest against this arrogant abuse and the manipulation of this political system. The people will be rallying Tuesday, July 20th at 10 o'clock in front of the elections office here in Fort Myers just to let them know that we are just aghast.
Yep.
Just aghast. And it's just so outrageous to feel that we are being, again, the Democratic Party and those independents are being disenfranchised again.
Certainly are. Well,
like just a... an unbelievable manipulation. It's horrendous.
Of course, a lot of folks here in Florida are used to the fact that not everybody gets their voice heard, and that's
exactly.
just the way it's
but
been.
We're not going to get used to it anymore. We have to fight this. And if the only way we can fight this is for Democrats to change their party to Republican in time to vote in the primary, that's what we'll have to do.
Natalie, thanks for your call.
Guy, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Do appreciate it very much. A most interesting situation. And once again, the Republicans are having their way. They're going to make sure that not everybody has a say in what's going on. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show, 1200 WPK, Fort Myers, Florida.
Because we're going to be right back
with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth right here on The Guy James Show. Stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Get away!
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
That's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neal. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neal, visit robertnealforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Alcoholism within the family is a lot of work. You struggle to cover up the problem. You put all your energy into avoiding conflict. You focus on hiding the problem from others and yourself. But sooner or later, you discover that all you've done is paint yourself into a corner. That's why there's Al-Anon for families and friends of alcoholics. If someone's drinking is affecting your life, there is help.
Call 888-4-Al-Anon. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Have you ever heard the expression, you're not getting older, you're getting better? Well, when it comes to driving, that doesn't happen naturally, but it can happen with a little effort. Just ask 68-year-old H.R. Robinson.
Personally, I exercise 4 to 5 times every week. Anytime you exercise your body, you're exercising your mind as well. You feel more confident, not only in driving, but in all aspects of life.
For a free brochure, call 1-800-993-7222. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, here locally in Collier County, 263-6570, and in Lee County, 479-5540. Hey, I want to say congratulations to Julie Uresti, Democratic candidate for Collier County Commission, District 3. She's a working mom, a career woman, and a remarkable success story. Julie Uresti represents the working people of Naples and Golden Gate, and you can return our local government to the people and by electing Julie Uresti, County Commissioner. Folks, I can't stress to you locally here how important it is to support these candidates. We just talked about a travesty of the election process whereby the Republicans have hijacked the process. And you know why they got away with it? Do you know why? We had a candidate for sheriff here, and this would not have had to happen. We had a Democratic candidate for sheriff, and she's not going to be on the ballot. Why? Because of lack of support. Lack of support. Financial support, I'm talking about. Folks, it costs money to win a campaign. It costs a lot of money in radio advertising, newspaper advertising, just a lot of money. And we failed to support properly our Democratic candidate we had put up for sheriff. And that's why this whole mess happened, was lack of support. So, yes, we're in an area where we're badly outnumbered, but doggone it, if you get something Democrat, you want to see the Democrats flourish here in Southwest Florida, support these people. You have to support them. They have to try and compete with the buckets of money coming from the Republican Party. Even this show. You know, a lot of people listen to this show, and I don't know whether they think, the money just comes out of the sky or what, but it doesn't. And it costs a lot of money to put on this show, just as it costs a lot of money to put on a campaign. And if this show ever ends, and if these campaigns end, it's because it's a lack of financial support. So please do keep that in mind. If you got an extra $5 or $10, give it to a candidate of your choice on the Democratic side. And also, you might want to help out the show a little bit now and then, too. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Do want to remind everybody once again that Jeff up in New York is having his Question W review. Going to be on tonight live on the Laura Flanders Show, 9:30 tonight, and he's going to be on there along with a couple of cast members. Hey, you can check it out, www.questionw.com, and or www. For our local folks here, airamericaradio.com. Listen into that. You'll be glad you did. I assure you, you're going to hear some great stuff coming out from the Question W review. I hate it when I hear what I call veiled racism. And who are we? Who are we as white people? You know, although I said, okay, I said I don't like rap music, I am not going to tell a whole other culture that they shouldn't be listening to rap music. And this veiled racism that you hear all the time, that here we are being the big bad white people trying to tell all the black people that what they ought to like and not like. I don't really understand that. I really don't. It's offensive to me. And if they like the rap music, oh, well, good. I don't have to like it. And to tell you the truth, I don't know much about the lyrics and all that sort of thing. I don't listen to it because it bothers my ears. But, you know, just like my father didn't like the Beatles when they first came out, probably the same way I don't like rap music. But if that's your thing, go for it. I don't care. But I don't think we need to condemn an entire culture just because of the music that's very popular with their youngsters right now. We can't do that. Going to go to Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Guy?
Well, we've got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, I wanted to talk about the rap thing, first of all. I'm a Hispanic male. I'm 26 years old, and I love rap. Okay? And for people to say that it's dangerous and everything, I mean, I have to deal with it growing up. I mean, it's so stupid, all right? I agree with you. If you don't like something, don't listen to it. You know, everything isn't for everybody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like Julio, are you a big factor of Hector Berlioz's classical music?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. All right. So, you know, that's something that's my favorite. And if you listen to it, you may not like it. Fine.
Right. Exactly. And not just that. I mean, if you want to talk about that it's dangerous and that it degrades our society, I can make a case that religion is a lot more dangerous to society than rap music is. And a lot more people have died due to religion than anything else in the world. And I don't see anybody going around saying, well, let's abolish religion because it's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't disagree with that.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about was the Bush not going to go speak in front of the NAACP. I'm glad he didn't because I know it's going to look bad on him. But his rationale for not going to speak to them is that, you know, they were critical of him and they said, like, these horrible things about him or whatever. Okay, if that's the case, then I would suggest the Democrats boycott the Fox News Network. And this is the reason why. Okay, a couple weeks ago, Dick Morris was on there with Bill O'Reilly and sat right across the table from Bill O'Reilly and made a joke saying that if John Kerry, if he chooses Hillary Clinton as vice president, that Hillary Clinton would attempt to have him assassinated. And Bill O'Reilly sat there and smiled back and said nothing about it.
Yeah.
They have another commentator, Hannity. I'm sure you know him.
I've heard of him.
Right, yeah. He says the liberal policies are as dangerous to America as Al-Qaeda itself, and that Al-Qaeda wants John Kerry to win. And he even wrote a book about it called Deliver Us from Evil, comparing despots and terrorists to liberals. And then they constantly have Ann Coulter on there, you know, who says the liberals should be shot and that they're treasonous. And these aren't people that they were just being interviewed for a book. I mean, these are political commentators that they have on their show constantly. And if I was a Democrat, I would come out and tell Fox, until you remove these people from your news station, we will not appear on your network anymore, and treat them for what they really are, which is another 700 club.
Oh, absolutely. I like that one, another 700 club. That's about what it is.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, these people, I mean, they put Alan Combs on there. And just for everybody who doesn't know, what Alan Combs' background was before he became a political commentator, he was a stand-up comedian. Right?
Alan Combs?
Oh, yeah, that's what they put up there to fight back, you know, the strong right wing. They put Sean Hannity, whether you like him or not, you can tell he has experience debating, you know, and talking about politics. You know, I mean, yeah, you can disagree with him, but you got to give him that much credit, okay? But Alan Combs is a stand-up comedian. I mean, it's like you said, he's a punching bag. He's just put up there. Just basically to make liberals look bad.
He's not funny.
Yeah, and then the other night, I think they had like Jim Hightower on, and Hannity's hitting him with all these like absurd questions. You know, he mentioned that Kerry was the one who said that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. That if you're going to call Bush a liar, you're going to call Kerry a liar. And Alan Combs just sat there and let him get away with that. You know, I mean, just with a stupid look on his face. And I'm thinking, I'm like, is Sean Hannity really trying to say that Bush invaded Iraq because he was advised by John Kerry to invade the country? I mean, that's how ridiculous that argument is.
Oh, sure. And, you know, for a lot of you Fox News people, there's a new documentary out called Out Foxed by Robert Greenwald. And if you want to see just how biased and unbalanced they are, be sure to check out that film.
I sent you an email this week, and it's about this book called Banana Republicans. Mm-hmm. I would really recommend everyone who's interested in how the media works to check that book out. You'll learn a lot of interesting things about, especially Fox News and about the Heritage Foundation and all stuff like that about what these people are doing to try to manipulate, you know, the way that people think in this country. And yeah, on 940 in Miami now, they have Air America.
Right.
You can pick up 940 here very faintly sometimes, but in Naples it shouldn't be a problem for anyone who gets tired of listening to, you know, the same people regurgitating the same words over.
Yeah, I was in Miami this week and I was going across the dial and son of a gun, Ed Schultz was on in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it says 940, I was thinking it was 9:30.
No, it's 9:40.
9:40, okay. 9:40 right. AM in Miami, all you folks over there be aware of that. Got Air America and Ed Schultz on is a refreshing change.
Well, have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you, Julio. Thanks for calling. Yeah, you know, about this Fox News thing, for all of our friends who get their news from Fox's fair and balanced news network, I have to laugh every time I say it. Be sure and see the Outfoxed film by Robert Greenwald. If you want to see just how biased and absolutely unbalanced they are, be sure and check out that film. Greenwald Using Fox's own film footage makes the case that Fox is nothing more than a media outlet for the White House. Whatever the White House wants in the way of media coverage, fair and balanced, Fox will give it to them. He monitored the network and rounded up some whistleblowers and put them in a documentary that absolutely proves that Fox is George Bush's own personal parrot. There's no question about it after seeing this. Well, I knew it before that. But whatever spinner lies the Bush administration wants to promote, good old Fox is the media whore that'll do it for him, no questions asked. And let's face it, the words Fox and journalism really don't go together. Fox is related to journalism like oil is related to water, and there's not a single respectable journalist on the entire network. Many of them used to be respectable, but when they sold their souls to Fox, they turned into blatant propagandists masquerading as newsmen. And you know, when you think about it over the years, Goebbels and Stalin would be real proud of Fox. You know, they invented the propaganda methods Fox used in their programming. Many of you historians know a lady by the name of Leni Riefenstahl. She was never better. But even, you know, she was the best propagandist ever, is what I want to say. She absolutely was. But even she didn't have a 24/7 forum like Fox does. And so they're just pounding it home. And how about their message point of the day passed out? You get this. This is the truth. They have a message point of the day in a news business passed out by Fox News senior vice president. And this little ditty is in the form of a news editorial memo which mandates that all on-air reporting personnel are to use his editorial points. Pound them home all day long. You know, long ago the Fox network gave up any illusion of being fair and balanced. They are shamefully the official Bush administration propagandist, and they do it proudly, and they do it for the money. Let's face it, tell it like it is. Fox News Network is the king of political whoredom, and anyone who turns to them for their news is really out of touch reality. I mean, that's been shown over and over and over again. Back to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Cape Coral. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Nice talking to you today. It's on 9:40 a.m. It's Randy Rose. It's Ed Schultz, and it's Al Franken. It is great. It's so great to have a voice of reason around here, because other than that, you were the only voice of reason. But I want to talk about this voting thing and the Christian Coalition. And you know, the Christian Coalition would do Stalin and Goebbels proud, because do you remember here in Cape Coral when Jeff Kottkamp was running? He's the Christian Coalition was running against that woman for the state representative seat, and one of the right-wing Christian Coalition bigots from this district was a write-in candidate to knock out us Democrats and independent voters. And so the Christian Coalition denied us our vote, and Jeff Kottkamp won the seat, and he won it by a narrow margin. If the Democrats and the independents had been allowed to vote, he would have never won the seat. Do you recall that?
Oh, it's four years ago. Yeah, it's rigged from one end to the other. I mean, yeah. they got it down.
I mean, the Christian Coalition is the biggest threat to our democracy that I've ever seen. And you go back to, were you here at the time when the Christian Coalition took over the school board and they forced their Bible study course on the public school systems here?
Yeah.
And it cost us millions, the taxpayers, millions of dollars with lawsuits and everything. And what did the Christian Coalition do in every public school system that they've taken over? Thank God the Republican voters voted them out of office. But, you know, every school system that they took over, it created hatred against gay and lesbian students. It created hatred against Jews, hatred against anybody who wasn't one of these right-wing, born-again, and tote the party line of this born-again Christian. And, you know, it's a very dangerous thing where we're at in this country. And, you know, my ancestors, I come from a German Protestant background, and my ancestors fled Germany over 250 years ago to get away from religions telling them what they can and cannot do. And you know, am I going to have to run again? Are we going to have to run again when you look at the way this country is? You know, our founding fathers were all products of the Enlightenment, and they explicitly wrote into the Constitution a separation of church and state. It reads that the Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of any one religion. That's specifically clear in the Bush administration and the Republican Party, the religious right. They are totally un-American and totally unconstitutional, and something's got to be done to wake the people up, because if you notice, Guy, every time the Republicans are in trouble, what do? They turn to God, guns, and gays.
That's
God,
right.
Guns, and gays, over and over and over again. And it's interesting, because I was talking to someone from Texas who's a big gun owner, and he told me that back when Clinton was in, all his gun-toting friends were telling him, oh, Clinton's going to take your guns, Clinton's going to take your guns. Well, guess what happened? From the time Clinton became president till the time Clinton left the office, he had more guns than ever before. Now he's only got a few guns left. Do you know why? Because the Bush administration has him in such poverty that he's selling off his guns just in order to survive.
Well, sooner or later, the money's going to get them.
They let these cultural issues override their
pocketbooks, but sooner or later, they're going to pay for it.
That's exactly right. And what do they have for giving them their votes all these years? Nothing.
Nothing.
They're losing their retirement. They're losing their pensions. They have no education for their children. The jobs are all going overseas. The richest 10%, particularly the richest 1%, is gaining all the wealth, and they're losing, and they're still... It's a shame how people are such emotional cripples that they will allow these idiots to brainwash them like that. And the Christian Coalition, that is not a good movement. They're the most dangerous thing to our democracy, and they scare me.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for your call.
You're very welcome. Okay, have a good day. Bye now.
It is true. You know, the rights are raising all kinds of hell this week about the NAACP illegally being political. What about the Christian Coalition? Huh? What about Jerry Falwell being in trouble with the Federal Election Commission right now again, as he was once before? Jerry Falwell, there isn't anybody that violates that law any more than Jerry Falwell, always has and probably always will. Bill in Cape Coral, are you with us, Bill?
Yeah, it's Bill in Fort Myers.
Fort Myers, okay.
I don't know if you caught it, but it was very hilarious. I don't know if you heard of this right-wing lunatic Lars Larson.
Oh, yeah.
He came out right when the White House said that they were going to start tinkering with the election of the president, the day of the election. Lars Larson goes on the air and starts arguing in favor of it. Little did he know that the Bush administration was going to flip-flop the very next day and make him look like a complete idiot. The Bush administration said they never even heard of it. It was some lower-level echelon. And then they called John Kerry a flip-flopper. Give me a break.
Well, it's Lars Larson... For those of you that don't know, well, everybody knows who Lars Larson, I think. He's another right-wing spin-off from Rush Limbaugh. He's a guy that filled in for Rush Limbaugh and gets his own show.
Get your orders off the fax and put them on the air.
Absolutely. Doesn't it appear that way every day? You can just count, after you've heard the first right-winger in the morning.
It's coming and coming.
You can tell them all. You can tell all day long what the marching orders are going to be. I mean, I laugh over that. It's the absolute truth.
Another thing I wanted to bring out was, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox Network, is a supporter of Ralph Nader. I don't know if you knew that or not, that Ralph Nader is going to publish a book during the presidential campaign, and guess who's going to publish it for him? Rupert Murdoch. I never thought he'd be supporting Ralph Nader. Doesn't that sound a little fishy?
Oh, man. Yeah, and he supports Bush, too. I mean, he said a lot of nice things about Bush and his network. My God, is Murdoch absolutely panders
to sure
Bush.
Does.
And, of course, Murdoch's a great warmonger as well. I mean, when the war was coming, there wasn't anybody more excited about it than Fox News.
Right. So our president could look macho.
Oh, yeah.
This ridiculous meltdown on this amendment to the Constitution, I'll tell you exactly where it came from. You were talking earlier about having money for these think groups and everything. The Christian Coalition wasn't in on this one, but there's another big organization, including Gary Bauer, called the Arlington Group. And they put this thing together about try to put a whip on the gay people to get them to keep their place. And the Arlington Group met with the Bush people and told them if they didn't push this amendment, they were going to stay home on Election Day, and that's where that whole deal came from, and too bad for the Republicans because it backfired on them.
Well, and it's another one of those issues, though, Bill, where the right-wingers, the upper echelon of the right-wingers, the people that, the puppet masters, they bring out an emotional issue, they beat it to death, and they really don't give a damn.
They
don't give a damn if there's a gay marriage amendment or not. They really don't.
And
they've used it for a weapon against the left, and that's all that matters.
And these same people are also against a civil union. They don't say it now, but they don't want a civil union anymore. That they want to hold the gays down just like they used to be able to hold the blacks down. That's all it is. And
yeah.
My final comment, you mentioned zones of free speech. How many people are aware that in the United States Congress, if an amendment comes up, only Republicans can offer an amendment. No Democrat can offer an amendment. And if we're going to complain about free speech and we've lost the House of Representatives, that's where we have to begin. And if anybody doesn't believe me, call your congressman and ask them, if you're an elected Democrat in the House of Representatives, it's just like the Soviet Duma. You can only affect an amendment if you're a Republican, and this is a crying shame.
Because of the chairmanships and the lack of cooperation between the two. They've literally stripped the Democrats of any power they've had whatsoever.
When we get power again, are we going to play it that dirty, or are we going to make it against law? Against the law to make it that unfair.
Well, you know, Bill, it was John McCain himself that said a while back, you better hope, he said to his own party members, you better hope the Democrats never get in power again after the way we've treated
them. People like Grover Norquist, they're like a yeast infection gone haywire. They're not trying to make better government. They're trying to destroy government, and let's stand up against them. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for your call, Bill. Well, I tell you, we've got a lot to go over today. I do want to once again, let you know our numbers, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Want to hear your ideas on everything that's going on. Hey, I do want to let you know quickly, there's going to be a Collier County Democratic Club meeting this Monday night at Lakewood Country Club. I've had several people ask about this in East Naples. All Democrats are invited. This is one of America's fastest-growing Democratic organizations because the meetings are exciting, and they are informative and fun. Join with 150 other energized Democrats for a great buffet dinner, $20 a person, and learn all about the exciting volunteer programs and fundraising events coming up. That's this Monday at 6 p.m. at the Lakewood Country Club in Naples. And for more information, you can call Democratic Headquarters at 434-7754. Remember that number, 434-7754, or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. Hey, we're going to stop for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show, 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be back right after the news. You come back with us now, you hear?
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Fire on the Mountain. I'm Steve Taylor. The so-called waterfall fire that started this week in Carson City, Nevada, and damaged more than a dozen homes, now is working up the slopes in the direction of Lake Tahoe. Chasing it, says Fire Information Officer Diane Mignatelli.
We have 123 engines. We have 16 bulldozers. We have a lot of aircraft, probably 5, 7, 9, about 15 aircraft out there.
Diminished winds have caused the fire to mellow today, says Mignatelli, but that could change. In Baghdad today, officials say gunmen ambushed and killed an Iraqi police chief as he drove to work. Also today, a roadside bomb killed an American soldier as his convoy traveled through northern Iraq. The Independent 9/11 Commission releases its conclusions next week. ABC's Barbara Britt reports.
One recommendation from the final 9/11 Commission report is the creation of a cabinet-level position of National Intelligence Director, who would report directly to the White House. According to the New York Times, a position that would drain power from the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, and other agencies that have been roundly criticized for not sharing information before the terror attacks.
As it happens, Democratic candidate John Kerry proposed much the same thing today.
As president, I will create a true director of national intelligence, a cabinet-level position, with the authority to manage and to direct all the components of our intelligence community, to bring all those components together in the most creative and proactive way to protect our nation.
Campaigning for the GOP ticket in Minneapolis today, Vice President Cheney called Kerry a waffler who represents failed thinking, and Cheney repeated a joke about his VP opponent.
Somebody said to me the other day that Senator Edwards was picked for his good looks and charm. And I said, how do you think I got this job?
This is ABC News.
Different people, different needs, all hoping for their piece of the American dream. Who's there to watch out for them, to work for housing affordability and help give everyone the opportunity to own a home? To serve everyone would take a small army, wouldn't it?
The National Association of Realtors has 1 million members, and we're doing everything in our power to help all Americans realize their dream. The National Association of Realtors, 1 million members working for you.
Hi, Orkin Man here with a little advice about home maintenance. Keeping bugs out is part of it. Yep, somewhere between cleaning the gutters, mowing the yard, and defrosting the refrigerator lies me, the Orkin Man. Glamorous, I know. See, 83% of ants, roaches, and other pests get in from the outside. Before they ever reach your welcome mat, call me at Orkin. I'm trained to put down a protective barrier to help keep bugs from ever getting in the first place. This is the Orkin Man saying, if it bugs you, bug me at 1-800...
Let's face it, mold, mildew, and fungus on your roof is not only unsightly, it's a potential health hazard. DuraShield, an evolution in roofing protection, restores the original beauty of your expensive concrete or tile roof and prevents mold, mildew, and fungus from returning. Guaranteed for 7 years. For asphalt or fiberglass roofing, DuraShield will reduce granule loss as well as prevent the regrowth of mold, mildew, and fungus and will extend the life of your roof. If you're considering having your roof cleaned, don't pressure wash and damage your roof. Call DuraShield for a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate at 574-2594. A professional representative will show you why DuraShield has protected nearly 20,000 roofs in the past 11 years and why once you see the difference, you'll never waste your money on pressure washing again. Protect your property by calling DuraShield for a free estimate at 574-2594. Call 574-2594 today.
Daddy, I think Bullet wants to go outside.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at four, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on, boy.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Make him spit that cat out this instant!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Doris Roberts. Finding affordable, quality child care is a daily struggle for parents. 29 million children in America need a place to go while their parents work. Working mothers with young children spend more money on child care than they would on public college tuition. By supporting the efforts of Colonel's Kids, you can help make quality YMCA child care available to more children. To help, please visit colonelskids.com or ymca.net.
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information, plus today's most powerful talk program. Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour, plus the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News and CNBC Business Report. Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK.
Fellow
America, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you, coming to you from sunny Fort Myers, Florida, and WPTK, Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, and also all of our friends on the Internet. You're listening just to the best Democratic liberal talk show in America. That's all there is, plain and simple. You want to know what we think about our own show? That's what we think. You get honest information here and plenty of it, and a good dialogue back and forth between our friends, both Democrat, and sometimes we hear from some Republicans, not too often. We'll get them trained, though, sooner or later, don't you worry. But, you know, we're the answer in these parts. We're the only answer to hundreds of hours of right-wing radio, about 150 hours of right-wing radio a week around here, and we are the voice in the wilderness. And we try and get our message out as much as we can, and we are a listener-supported show, and I do encourage all of you, if you want to keep having a Democratic liberal talk show in this area, why, do help support the show, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can give to the program right on there. You know, I found an interesting web site this week, and many of you probably already knew about it, but some of you didn't. www.electionprojection.com. www.electionprojection.com. Really a great website, and they've tallied all the polls and so forth, and they've got an electoral map made up of who's ahead right now and who's leaning where and what and who's solidly in which camp. And they've got it right now, folks, that Kerry has 291 electoral votes as it stands today, and Bush 247. That would leave Kerry at 50.9% in the polls and Bush at 47.2%. Some very interesting statistics they have on that site, and they update them very, very often. Bush has gained since 2000? None. States Bush has lost since 2000, New Hampshire and Florida. Of course, as you know, as close as it was, that's enough to change it. Some of the states really close for Bush, Virginia and Louisiana. Some states really close for Kerry, Maine and Oregon. Interesting, very interesting. So go take a look at that. It's a very, very fine website. www.electionprojection.com. I think you'll find that very, a very, very good website, and give you something to do on there. Keep up with it and keep score. Don't forget the Question W review coming up tonight on AirAmericaRadio.com. AirAmericaRadio.com. For those of you that don't get any of the Air America stations, if you happen to live in New York or some of the big cities where they have it, well, good for you. 9:30 tonight, you can listen to the Laura Flanders Show, and our good friend Jeff, the New York Bureau, is going to be interviewed live at 9:30, talking all about his Question W review, and I know you'll want to hear that. How many of you heard of you all know who Haley Barbour is, right? Haley Barbour was the former head of the RNC, and now he is the governor of Mississippi. Got himself elected governor of Mississippi right now, down there, and right now they would run that man out of town on a rail if they had a chance. He got in there, and he's slashing prescription and medical benefits to folks. And they are madder than wet hornets over it. And, you know, he sneaked in there, didn't give them an inkling that that's what he was going to do, and then he dropped the boom on them on these health care issues. And now they've got a governor to stick with. I don't know how long the governor's in for in Mississippi. He just won that term here a while back. I don't know whether it's 4 years, 6 years, or what in Mississippi, but they've got a governor that's awfully unpopular right now. He most certainly is, and Mr. Haley Barbour. I knew it. I knew it. I knew he'd never stay popular for long once they found out what his real stripes were. I mean, how could you, if you're a Haley Barbour, how could you stay popular very long? And how many of you saw this news flash this week? I was shocked when I read this. I don't know if the American press has picked this up or not, but the Australian press is all over it. Mr. Prime Minister Alawi, the new Prime Minister of Iraq, pulled a pistol and executed as many as six suspected insurgents at a Baghdad police station just days before Washington handed control of the country to his interim government, according to two people who alleged they witnessed the killing. They say the prisoners were handcuffed and blindfolded. Boy, you have to be real manly to do that, don't you? Kill handcuffed and blindfolded people. They were lined up against a wall in the courtyard adjacent to the maximum security cell block in which they were held at the Al Amariah Security Center in the city's southwest suburbs. They say Dr. Alawi took onlookers, told onlookers the victims had each killed as many as 50 Iraqis, and they deserved worse than death. He then pulled out a gun and shot each one of them in the head. The people didn't come to this Australian newspaper, the Herald, and tell the story. Actually, the Herald went in and dug the story out. They had to find the witnesses and all, so this wasn't something that that was bandied about by the Iraqis. They actually dug for this story and got it. You know, it's seems to me, I don't know, I could be wrong, but that doesn't seem like much of a democracy to me, or the kind of government you'd want to have, having your new prime minister or president or whatever he is, the prime minister, pulling out pistols and executing prisoners that haven't been on trial yet. Is that the kind of democracy that Mr. Bush is telling us that, oh boy, isn't this going to be great in Iraq now? I don't know. Some of Alawi's people are denying this story, and others are saying, yes, it absolutely did happen. They said they took the bodies, took them out into the desert and buried them. One witness justified the shooting as an unintended act of mercy. Oh, how nice. He, quote, he said they were happy to die because they'd already been beaten by the police for 2 to 8 hours a day to make them talk. So, oh, that makes it nice. We kill them because they'll be happy to die. Oh, I don't know. An odd story, and I hope the rest of it comes to light. I hope the American press picks it up and lets us know whether they can absolutely confirm that story or not. I would like to know. If any of you got any information on it, let me know. Going to go to John in Cape Coral. John, welcome to the show.
Well, again, it's an enjoyable show, Guy. I wanted to talk about this issue of the disenfranchisement.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not the first time. And what I've done is I haven't changed my philosophy, so don't get too worried. But I'm now a registered Republican.
You better tell everybody why.
Because if I am not...
I know why.
Well, if I'm not, I cannot vote in this primary election. And I think several races which we need to figure in. And I'm urging that people follow my example. Because at this point, maybe the Republicans will get wind if a lot of Democrats suddenly join the Republican primary in party in Lee County through this, or at least register as Republicans and vote in the primary. Maybe we can change the course of this election a little bit and get, you know, certainly the most desirable candidate that we can out of the race. Because on a sheriff's race, you only can vote for on the Republican primary side. And in the county race for county commission, one of the things Ray Judah and Mr. Jake Slott, if you don't register for the primary, you can't vote. And the congressional, there are four different people, and some of them are highly undesirable. So I thought it was a good idea to, for practical purposes, to become a Republican, at least until the primary season is over.
Well, you know, John, they're counting on the apathy of the public. There'd be a lot of people just like you that will say, gee, I think that's what I ought to do. They're just counting on the fact that not many people will actually do it. You know, you can just see these people sitting around in a room plotting this. And they can't deny it. I mean, it's a monkey wrench into the works, and they know exactly what they're doing. It was cold, calculated, pure politics, but it's legal.
Well, I even question that. The sheriff's race, the gentleman who's in is not even at this point in Lee County for several months. He's in state of Colorado and filed this from the state of Colorado. He holds some sort of Lee County address. I mean, Mr. Orlando, who doesn't seem to even be here. And then in the county commission race, the gentleman had donated to the campaign of Mr. Slott. I mean, certainly not a non-partisan person there. So it certainly seems to be a bias. It seems to be a game that was very nicely played.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we can get into the act, too. And frankly, I live in Cape Coral. I went to the elections office. Don't live that far away from it. And it took me about 3-4 minutes to give her, identify who I was, get a little card, just put the box in saying Republican. They'll send me a card. Comes the primary. It's all over. I'll go back there another 3-4 minutes, and I'll go back to being a Democrat again. And if enough people do this and realize, you know, every vote does count, And I think that's my basic position here. As a voter, I do not want to be disenfranchised. It's too important. And if they want to play the game, we can play the game.
Well, we're going to have to. And
that's my message for today. I think that, you know, it doesn't take that much time. It's not that much effort. You have until August 2nd to do it. And if enough people do it, maybe they'll get wind. This is not a good way to run an election.
Well, just so all the locals, folks understand this, do understand what John's saying. If you're a Democrat, you're going to be totally left out of who is the sheriff in this county and who's the county commissioner. You're going to be left out of that decision. You're going to live under their rule, but you're not going to have a choice.
So, you know, you bite the bullet, you bite your principles and say, okay, I'll become a Republican for a little while. Maybe I'll form a club guy called Republicans for Kerry.
Well, I'd have to form another club called Hold Your Nose and Change Your to Republican Club.
Well, I can add that to it. I'm not doing this joyfully, but I think that you have a hard choice to make. And the question is, do you want to hold your principles and say, hey, maybe I'm a Democrat, but maybe it just doesn't pay in terms of practicality? And the thing I learned early on in politics and anything political, it's the end result that counts. It's not just, you know, what your label is that you put on it, but what do you believe in and what do you want out of government?
Well, this election is going to be extremely important here in Lee County, and this election across the nation, I feel, is going to be the most important election in modern history, and I hope everybody realizes the gravity of the situation here. I really do.
And I hope some people follow my example. And it's a few minutes invested, and I think if we do that, maybe the Republicans will realize maybe their party isn't doing as well if enough Democrats temporarily join to vote in the primaries.
John, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Makes a lot of sense. I don't know if I can do that or not, but it makes a lot of sense. It's a travesty what they've done here locally with that. I mean, they've got it rigged, and there's nothing we can do about it except what John suggested. And I don't know. I don't know if I can do it or not. I really don't know if I can do it or not. But, hey, you know, you've heard all this hubbub about the convention coming up. And the Republicans have said who their speaker is going to be, and the Democrats have said who their speaker is going to be about their convention and everything. Have you noticed anybody on the Republican side? Probably the second most powerful guy in the Republican Party right now, their great money grubber, the guy that raises the most money and wields all the power in the House of Representatives, Mr. Tom DeLay. You're not going to see Tom DeLay at the Republican convention. Anybody want to guess why? Because they know the stink, the smell that comes off of that man. They know they don't dare put him up in front of the public. He's a political weasel. He's a political crook. And I think we're about to find that out. The only problem is people investigating Tom Lay, the Ethics Committee, four out of the five people on the committee investigating him have taken money from the energy companies they're investigating him for. So, you know, it's one of those deals that's probably cut and dried before it starts. But there's no more of a weasel in politics than Tom DeLay. And yet the Republicans don't put him front and center very often. In fact, not at all lately. My goodness, that seems odd to me. It really does seem really odd to me. But, you know, getting back to this election, it is terribly important. 888, by the way, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You know, I can't state strongly enough how important is this upcoming election. If the Democrats lose this election, I really believe the United States of America will no longer be the place its founding fathers envisioned it would be. It'll be farther down the road to becoming a fascist state in almost every sense of the word. We'll have a party in power who will have proven that you can buy the presidency of the United States. We'll have a party in power who gets its marching orders not from the citizens of this country, but from huge corporations, not the slightest bit interested in the common good of the people, but rather interested only in seeing how much money can be extracted from those people to further enrich their already money-soaked stockholders. Now, we'll have a nation not of or by and for the people, but of General Motors, by Enron, and for the Walmarts, who will probably just continue to grind out obscene profits based on the sweat and labor of the common guy, who probably will be forced to work for a wage which will barely allow survival at even the most minimal level. You know, stop and think about it. We'll go back to times when the smokestacks belched cancer-causing carcinogens. and the lakes and the rivers carry more oil and chemicals than water. Our forests will disappear, and they're making sure of that right now after being clear-cut by the giant logging companies, and our farmland will be owned by huge conglomerates who will destroy the free market for food. And we've so long enjoyed a great free market of inexpensive food in this country. And then only the rich, sooner or later, will be given the good food, and the rest of us will have the leftovers. That's just how it's going to work. You know, it's not to say we haven't seen these times before in this country, before the days of responsible government, can't talk today. And before the days of the unions, which protected the American worker from the robber barons like the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts, you all know all about those folks. The common man really lifted himself out of those terrible circumstances by banding together and seizing enough power to climb out of the poverty-stricken conditions they'd been forced into by the rich and powerful. You know, American heroes like Walter Reuther and Samuel Gompers, they started a movement that saved America from becoming another slave nation, because that's where it was headed. And before the great organized labor movement, the 40-hour work week was only a dream. But today, to too many Americans, that 40-hour work week is becoming only a distant memory. But it's a memory of times when a man and woman could put in a good 8-hour day 5 days a week and support a family in it with a decent lifestyle. You know, Walmart is now the nation's largest employer, and I ask you, how many people who work at Walmart, what percentage of the people who work at a Walmart can support a family on what they make in 40 hours? Shouldn't you be able to support a family with a decent job, making decent pay if you're putting in full-time work? You know, these Republicans want to privatize everything, our government, our schools, our military, everything. And it's not they would tell you that the people of the United States will have more efficient government, better schools, and more affordable military. And, you know, that's not it at all. They want to privatize everything so that they can pour the money for all those services into the pockets of their rich friends so their monstrous campaign contributions can keep flowing and they can afford to continue to buy their offices just like they have been. And one thing I've wondered lately, and I wonder if how many of you agree with me, why don't you see the most powerful Republican of all in front of the cameras? And how many times have you seen Tom DeLay speaking to the press? And I know a lot of you wonder why that is. I talk a lot about Tom DeLay, but why wouldn't they want old Snake Eyes DeLay to speak to the media as much as possible? You know, he's such a good, moral, born-again Christian gentleman. He ought to be speaking up on the platform at the Republican convention. But, again, you're not going to hear him. And anyone want to bet whether or not old Tommy Boy takes the stage? You know, the guy's radioactive, and they know it. And if you study Tom DeLay, you'll find out what is the real Republican agenda. You'll find out their real morality if you study Tom DeLay. You'll find out just how Christian they really are. Just study old Tommy DeLay for a while, and you'll finally understand what the Republican Party's all about. Power and money at any cost. You know, they're compassionate, all right. They are compassionate toward anyone who gives them the money to buy more power, so that they can make more money, so that they can get more power. You know, you get the idea. In fact, the Republican Party is made up of only two factions. You have the kingpins, the Cheneys, the Bushes, the Rumsfelds, the DeLays, and the rest of the power brokers. And then you have the average Joe, who thinks these guys at the top really care about helping the average Joe get ahead. And if you think about it, and you really analyze the situation, that's an absurd notion. Anyone who thinks the guys at the top of the Republican food chain gives a damn about those at the bottom is really fooling himself. And as I've mentioned before, just what has the Republican Party achieved for their grassroots people in the last couple of decades? Not a damn thing. No prayer in the schools, no overturning Roe v. Wade, no smaller government, no ban on gay marriage. They've accomplished absolutely none of the goals they told the Republican sheep voters they'd stand up for. Nothing. Doesn't that make you wonder, folks? Those of you that vote for Republicans, let me issue a challenge to our Republican friends who are listening. You know all the issues the top dog Republicans have spoken out about and made huge issues of, and most recently the gay marriage thing. Which of them did they accomplish? If you, my Republican listeners and friends, face up to the answer to that question, you won't be voting for George Bush this November. You can't. Not unless you're just plain crazy. Let's see. Let's go back to the phone. Going to go to Bob in Cape Coral. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guy. Hey, guy, you know, you were talking during the first hour, and I kind of agree with you about the NAACP. That was a big mistake for him not going and speaking there. I mean, that just goes to show you that when it comes to a good fight, he runs and hides.
always.
I mean, it's just amazing to me, because that would have been a good opportunity for him to just say, hey, listen, during the election, he was supposed to be the great uniter. That would have been a great opportunity for him to say, hey, I'm here to unite the people. I know we have our disagreements, but I'm here. I'm in front of you. Tell me what your disagreements are. But no. It's run and hide.
Great point. Be a man.
Exactly. And that's the guy, too, I was thinking about. I can't for the life of me understand. I've been listening to the right-wing wacko talk shows. Why they're saying that Bush is just better on defense than Kerry, I just can't get it. First, he chickens out of the Vietnam War. And then he's now, if he looked, he's fighting to have his military records hidden still. Yeah, did you know AP is fighting, they filed the affidavits to have the records released?
Well, now, Bob, you got to understand, that was just all an innocent mistake down at the Pentagon. They just happened to ruin that microfilm. I mean, it was an accident, and then, the backup... The backup phone or paper trail—they lost that too. It's just—it's all an innocent mistake, It's just a coincidence.
Well, that's how it is. He throws us into a false war and false intelligence, and I just don't get it. And then when they can't find the weapons of mass destruction, he sits there and says, "Oh, it's to free the Iraqis and to save the lives of their people." No matter that we're losing almost 1,000 Americans now, as it is, and countless civilians. And then what's going on in Sudan makes what was happening in Iraq and the Saddam look like a day at Disney World.
Oh, the Sudan problem, we haven't addressed that at all. I had hoped to have somebody to speak about that issue on the program today, and we talked back and forth a couple of times, and never got a commitment for him to be on. I had somebody that wanted to, that talks an expert on the Sudan problem. It's a terrible problem, and yet we're not doing anything about it, and I guess we all know why.
Well, I wonder if the American people even realize what's going on over in that part of the world right now. And it's the reason why is there's no oil and there's no profits for Halliburton there.
That's right.
I mean, there's none whatsoever, and it just amazes me that nobody's even picked up on that.
Now, there's no big money to be made. Number one, there's no oil, like you said. And number two, if we did go in there to help out and sent the military in, we wouldn't be using any of our expensive missiles or our laser-guided bombs and all that sort of thing. All the munitions that cost real money that the big military-industrial complex likes to use up so they can make more of them and make another fortune, wouldn't be using anything. And so there's nothing in it for us except to be good, moral, upright people and help others that need help. But
exactly.
No, we're not going to do that.
And be Christian about it.
Yes.
But it's funny, though, how he keeps telling us how safe we are since he's been president. It's funny. He says that, and the next breath he tells us how we need him to protect us and because of how much danger we're in. So how could it be both ways? I don't get it. Are we safer with him as president, or do we need him to protect us? I just don't. And then,
you know, you're right. I mean, there's no way you can come out of that. There's no way.
And what Kerry should ask, do you feel safer now than you did 4 years ago? That should be the question Kerry should be asking. And that will put all these people who believe that Bush is better and has made us safer, that would put them all at the rest, I think.
I think you're exactly right. A great point, Bob. A great point. I don't know how anybody can say they feel safer. I don't see how very many people, at least the masses certainly can't say they're better off. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and I don't think we're one damn bit safer. It doesn't make I don't think they've done all this show over in Iraq and trying to make a case that we're safer because we went to Iraq, which is absurd on its face. Meanwhile, the Office of Homeland Security hadn't gotten near the money to protect our ports, to protect our airports, to protect train stations. It's been totally neglected. Our first responders don't have enough money, and yet we've poured all that money in Iraq, which hasn't made us one iota safer.
No, and now Iran's done. Now they're starting to find connections with Iran, with Al-Qaeda, and that scares me even more now, because now it looks like another target's being lined up.
Well, and there was a story out today. I don't know how many of you saw it, but there's a story out today that Putin is trying to swing that Bush is trying to swing a deal with Putin to send 40,000 Russians in October. And so if he sends the Russians happen to send 40,000, first of all, they're just saying flat out that it's going to help Bush politically if they send 40,000 in, so we've got to have it done in October. Secondly, it's going to free up 40,000 American soldiers, so hey, Iran boys, look out, here we come.
No, that's a scary thought. All right, thank you, Guy. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. And some of the some of the ads you hear, and some of the, you know, you hear the right wing radio pundits talking about all the time about, well, you hear their marching orders. There's no one that does it any better than Sean Hannity talking about Kerry flip-flopping. He beats that that mantra to death every day. And of course, so is Limbaugh, and so is, can't think of any of them right now. Michael Savage, all of them. But I think if you're going to accuse somebody of being a flip-flopper, you ought to be pretty clean of that little habit yourself. And, you know, if you just take a look at Bush, for example, I mean, I think it's crazy for them to use that tack. On OPEC, Bush promised to force OPEC to lower prices when he was running for president. And now, you know, this year he refuses to lobby OPEC leaders. You know, in Iraq fundies, he denied the need for additional funds for the rest of 2004. And then he comes back and requests additional funds for 2004. You know, science. He pledges to issue regulations based on science, and then he ignores science later on. He invites Shalabi to the State of the Union address. I love this one. I love this one. He invited Shalabi and made a hero out of him and brought him to the State of the Union address. He got to stand up and take a bow. Oh, it was such a touching moment. And then Bush's military assistant raiding Shalabi's house. I thought that was one of the better moments of the year. You know, Bush initially opposed the Department of Homeland Security, and then he supported this Department of Homeland Security. He says we found weapons of mass destruction, and then he says no, we haven't found any. He supported free trade, and then he supports restrictions on trade. It goes on and on and on. He said he wanted Osama dead or alive, and then he said he doesn't care about Osama. He puts mandatory caps on carbon dioxide, and then he opposes mandatory caps on carbon dioxide. He totally resisted an outside investigation on weapons of mass destruction intelligence failure, and then he supports an outside investigation on weapons of mass destruction intelligence failure. It's one thing after another after another after another. So, Mr. Bush, please, don't insult us and accuse somebody else of being a flip-flopper, because you're Mr. Flip and flop yourself. I think we better pause for a commercial right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show, 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. And let me give you those numbers, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We'll be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Have you ever walked by a homeless person and asked yourself, what can one person really do to help? Well, in AmeriCorps, you can do a lot. You can take a year and really give back. More than 50,000 Americans are doing it this year, helping solve tough issues like hunger, illiteracy, or just helping people find a place to live. It's your world. It's your chance to make it better.
Call 800-942-2677 or go to AmeriCorps.org.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neal, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neal, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit RobertNealForCongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So you wonder what's going on overnight, do you? Well, if you'll join me, Ernie Brown, you'll hear America at Night. It's what people are talking about around the country. Whether it's hot in the news or something new and interesting, a guest that maybe you've never heard before, or a great book you might never have read.
I'll be talking about it and taking your phone calls. It's what's happening around the world, the nation, and your neighborhood. It's America at Night.
Ernie Brown and America at Night. Overnight starting at 1 on Power Talk 1200.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, my. Got to hurry. We got a lot to cover, and we only got an hour and 20 minutes to get it in. I don't know where the time goes, but we're going to work hard to get everything done we wanted to do today. Quickly, I want to thank some supporters of the program, Sue Stroh, Bill Beaumont, Carolyn Dusky, Bobby Kaz, Martha Simons, Barbara Presnell, the Democratic Club of Cape Coral, Chris Kern, William Sherrill, Marianne Kilgannon, the Shell Point Village Democratic Club, the Bonita Springs Democratic Club, the Collier County Democratic Club. Love those Democratic clubs. Vince DiAmici, Patrick O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Harlow, Glenda Farrow, John and Maggie Dowling, Sandell Thurimurthy, Robert Neal, Betty Bainbridge, Virginia Miller, Elaine Miller, and Ronald Q. And also, I'd also like to thank quickly Gina Gilbert Pollock, David Birch, Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena LaBar, Helen Polker, let's see who else we got on here. Jeffrey Hales, Paul Johnson, Susan O'Donnell, Joe Hinckley, Jeff Matson, Elinda Davis, J.D. Marl, Robert DeVale, Marie Nelson, Vicki Sandek, and Robert Wood. Thank all you folks for your support of the program. You don't know how much we appreciate it. Quickly, I want to shill for a book here. It's called What's the Matter with Kansas? Folks, if you want to understand what's going on between the ears of the Republicans, you read this book. It's by a gentleman called Thomas Frank. I'm going to try and get him on the program soon. One of the best books I have ever read on politics, What's the Matter with Kansas by Thomas Frank. It's how the conservatives won the hearts of America, and I believe he has got the subject totally nailed. So it's a fabulous book, and I know you'll enjoy it. Hey, we're going to go back to the phones. We got Damien in Texas. Damien, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Guy?
Great.
I was listening to you earlier when you were talking about Haley Barbour,
yeah,
and that situation down in Mississippi. I don't know if you happened to have looked at Bill Moyer's show last night. They did an entire segment on that story about how the people in Mississippi are being kicked off the Medicaid rolls, and it's mostly a lot of sick and infirmed people who can't afford medication and can't work, who have been kicked off the rolls because their Republican governor thinks it's costing the state too much money.
But, Damien, don't you think it's odd he didn't mention it while he was running?
Oh, I think that's part of the course for them.
But
what I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if I'm being hard-hearted in this approach, when I was watching this segment last night, they had this Democratic state senator who was on there, and he was trying to work on behalf of the people trying to fight Barbour's move to get these people kicked off the rolls. And something that he said struck me. He said that a lot of these people who were attending these town meetings to, you know, protest this were people who had voted for Barbour when he was running for governor. And I was just wondering, you know, what did they expect? And, you know, and part of me feels kind of bad for thinking that, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe they, if, you know, the ones that actually voted for this guy, did they deserve, you know, to have this happen to them for being so naive as to vote for somebody like that?
What did they expect indeed? I mean, you're exactly right. I did see some of that last night, and I don't know what else they could have possibly expected. I hate to say they deserve what they got. Nobody deserves that, but they should have known what was coming.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a sad thing, but, you know, it's just like people that, you know, after all that we've been through in the last 4 years, and you still have people who are actually seriously considering voting for Bush, you know, I'm like, you know, what if he actually manages to get into the White House again, you know, what in the heck do the people think is going to happen to this country? I mean, after seeing what's happened the last 4 years, what in the world would possess him to go back into the voting booth and vote for that man again? I just don't understand that.
Well, you know, and it amazes me, Damien. It really does amaze me. The Republicans right now, to show you how they try and spin everything, politicians do it. They're saying, well, isn't this great? You know, we're only a point down. We're only 2 points down. This thing's almost dead. Even they're bragging about that. And here we have a war president. A self-acclaimed war president who's taken us to war twice, and a three-year incumbent, a little over 3 years, and he's only even? Come on, that's a disaster for an incumbent president.
Absolutely. But, you know, they are the masters of spin. And unfortunately, I think that the so-called liberal media are their partners in crime, because they just basically parrot a lot of the right-wing talking points on these so-called news shows, especially on cable. You know, I get so frustrated watching people, so-called respected journalists like Tim Russert and Chris Matthews and Cokie Robertson. You know, these people will spend more time analyzing and trying to find failures in Fahrenheit 9/11 than they did in the entire argument that the Bush administration presented that ended up taking us to war.
Sure did.
It's
You're absolutely right.
Very frustrating.
You're absolutely right. They spent far more time on Michael Moore than they did studying Saddam Hussein's
absolutely.
Weapons of mass destruction.
If they had spent one-tenth of that time, of the effort that they put trying to tear Michael Moore down and find inaccuracies in his movie, if they had spent one-tenth of that time, you know, looking at all of these lies that the Bush administration just pumped out one after another and still continues to do, you know, we wouldn't even have a close election in this country.
You're right, Damien. That is an excellent point, an excellent point. Thank you for your call.
But thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Certainly. Anytime.
All right.
Going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, what say you today, to quote another talk show host?
Hi, guy. Yeah, that's not a good one to quote.
No, it isn't. I forgive me.
I listen to him, but he's wrong most of the time. Guy, you know, but your callers are generally sound more intelligent than the myriads of callers that call the other shows. So I think we have a good chance for the to elect a Democrat to the White House. 2 points. You know, George Bush has tried to link, you know, recently, I don't know if you saw the paper with Castro. Well, first he tried to link Castro to weapons of mass destruction and originally put him on the list of axis of evil. And he had to eat his words because Castro said, well, come and check. And at that time, I think President Carter was over there in Cuba, and he said they don't have anything. They can make their own vaccine, but they don't have anything. But in any event, the reason I'm calling is because recently Bush has been trying to get more votes out of the Cuban American community in Southeast Florida, and by saying that Castro now is linked to, I guess he's trying to say that there's too many prostitutes and young prostitutes in Cuba, and I think that's you know, he probably should, you know, look over here first and then clear the United States first and see what you know, what the problem with the prostitutes there are and where the problem is worse.
You know, Juan, I'd really love to know what the real truth is. I was in Miami this week, and I asked several Cubans, business owners, ask them about the political scene over there right now, the climate, what's it like, and all three of them, actually I should say two of them because the other guy didn't respond all that much, but two of them who are pretty savvy, doggone savvy people, told me that they didn't know anybody that was going to vote for George W. Bush, that the Cuban community had totally abandoned him. I just wish I knew if that was true or not.
Well, that's a feeling that I get, because where I was coming to the point is that the Cuban community that supported him were people like my parents. I came over to this country from Cuba when I was 13 years old, but my parents, they're all right-wing type of people that had, they wanted to go back and get their properties back but now most of the people that are coming down and the ones that live in Miami are more Democratic at heart, and they really don't care about this right-wing ideology, which has not proven to work. I think they have a problem there, and they have went a little bit too far this year, and they're going to lose some votes in Miami just because of what they did. And what they have done recently is they, of course, you know, if I have a mother in Cuba, I can only go see her every 3 years. That's crazy. I mean, where are my rights? And I can only spend $50 a day in Cuba, $50 a week, I don't know, per visit. But I only have distant relatives over there. But it's incredible what he has done in trying to get the vote. What he has, you know, not only affected the 11 million Cuban people in in Cuba, but the Cuban Americans, they have family over there. They have he has really oppressed them and taken their rights away, and they're going to vote against him. And I know that because I listened to the some of the Cuban stations there. The old right wing stations still pull the old line, but and because they're owned by Republicans, but they're not. Everyone in Miami knows there's a difference.
And here you have Jeb Bush just pandering to the big shots, the so-called political leaders in Miami who are Cuban, and he just panders to them all the time.
Yes, he does. But, you know, what I tell Bush, the Bush brothers and any other Republican, that they want to, if they want to look at Cuban's record and their progress, compare everything. Compare Cuban's human rights against Saudi Arabia and China, and then tell me that they're worse. And then tell me that the Cuban that the Cubans are doing worse than the propped up economies that this country has in Latin America and South America. Although they're communists, they're doing better than the propped up economies by this country. So they have no right to speak. And I think the Cuban people that are coming over are more educated and they will vote differently. I do have one more point, if I may.
Okay.
Okay.
This is our Cuban bureau anyway. By the way, he lets us in on the skinny on what's going on in the Cuban community, and it's important here in Florida.
Yeah, we're going to get more votes. If we don't get them out of Miami, definitely we're going to get them out of Immokalee. I work in Immokalee, and I'm informing people there about the Democrats versus the Republicans in my office. And
yeah, what's your other point, Juan?
My other point is that Americans do not respond or don't differentiate between the international corporations and the national corporations. The international corporations feed off the national corporation because the people that have to, the corporations that have to stay here have to pay taxes and have to pay their employees. So when they go to China, like or other companies, like or other countries, I'm sorry, like GM has spent $60 billion in China recently, they have. They bring their cars over here. They're going to bring their cars here in the next 5 to 10 years, and they're going to charge us the same as if they would have made them here. However, they don't pay taxes here. They won't be paying taxes here, and they won't be paying employment here. And those companies, if China and the United States go to war in 15 to 20 years, which can happen, GM is going to be making war toys for the Chinese. And I don't hear anybody addressing this problem, Democrats or Republicans.
Money. Money's the answer. Hey, thanks for your call, Juan.
Thank you.
Do appreciate it very much. Well, we've got the board lit up today. Do want to remind you once again, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04 here locally. 479-5540. Just about forgot that number for a moment. We're going to go to, who are we going to go to? We've got Sue in Fort Myers. Sue wanting to talk about the flip-flopping. Sue, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Guy. You were mentioning that, and every time this week I've seen this ad that Bush accuses Kerry of missing out on 200 and some votes, you know, but he voted for I don't know what. And I think, how can you have the nerve when you have been out on the campaign how many days and at our cost?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a joke. First of all, everybody knows campaign season, whether we like it or not, any politician is going to miss a bunch of votes. And Kerry's only a senator. We have the United States president taking time off to do that. Isn't that more important?
Oh,
isn't that more meaningful?
That just makes me so angry every time I see that ad. I think, oh, the nerve.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So... Well, that's all I had to say.
Well, thanks, Sue. And you know, I even forgot a couple of his flip flops. You know, he favored he always favored a balanced budget. He hadn't submitted a single one yet to the Congress, not a single one. And of course, he always whined about Clinton's policy toward North Korea, but now he's adopted them. You know, he's flip flop. He's like a Mexican jumping bean. He's just all over the place.
I know.
Hey, thanks so much for your call, Sue.
Thank
you appreciate it very, very much. We've got Charles and Sanibel. Charles, welcome to the show.
Guy, good talking to you.
Can you speak up a little bit, Charles?
Yes, can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay. More of the puck passing is going on, of course, with the intelligence, what do you call it, the committee that decided that it was faulty intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
How were they so sure? Before they went to war, I read plenty of reports. You saw the UN inspectors. There were reports that Saddam Hussein had never been able to achieve the type of military power that he had when he originally invaded Kuwait in 91. I had doubts. How didn't they have doubts? I don't understand that. It's amazing to me that they would continue this mantra that they have.
It's just astonishing. When you sit back and look at the entire picture, it is simply amazing that they fell for some of this stuff. Of course, that's, you know, Charles, that's what really makes me think that there are more lies involved rather than intelligence mistakes, because that intelligence was massaged and massaged and massaged. I don't think they would have believed a lot of that intelligence, but they massaged it to where they wanted it.
Patriots leaving the country, of course they want to get back in power. We see that with a lot of Cuban expatriates today.
Sure.
This guy Chalabi was ready to admit to anything.
And here we...
He hadn't been there for 15 years.
Yeah, and here we have Alawi over there. He hadn't been there for 33 years.
Yeah, I would be against Hussein, too, if I were those guys. He kicked them out of the country.
Of course.
They were preaching to the choir, so to speak.
They said anything that they thought we wanted to hear. So they could get over there with our backing and get themselves a nice, fat, juicy position.
As far as George Bush speaking to positive crowds or pro-Bush crowds, I don't think there could be any more pro-Bush crowd than the White House correspondents, man. they just don't ask tough questions.
Oh, you are so right.
It's pathetic. These guys, if they do, rumor has it, if they ask questions that are out of line or that George Bush doesn't feel like answering, they move those guys right out.
Bunch of gutless wonders in there right now.
But we're in the battle, this, like you've said before, this is a desperate battle. This is an important battle this year more than ever. And I really think egos have got to be put aside. We've got to, I agree with the Kerry choice. I mean, I agree with the Edwards choice. I tend to disagree with many politicians on a lot of issues, but this is time to put it aside. And I really believe that John Kerry needs to sit down with Bill Clinton and understand the way he portrays things to the American public. Anybody that works paycheck to paycheck and has trouble saving money, when they sit down and they listen to Clinton, he's talking to them, and he has a way of expressing himself that Kerry could benefit from.
That's right. That's right.
I'm afraid that egos will get in the way again.
Hey, thanks so much for your call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Got Gene in Naples. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy. I hope you don't mind if I use your show to plug the Collier County Democrat Club a little bit.
Well, I know. We've been plugging them already today, but go ahead.
I know you have, and I know you got Internet listeners all across the country, and I'm hoping a lot of those are members of their local Democrat clubs, and I'm sure they are. I just wanted to run across some things that we're doing in Collier County to build our party and build enthusiasm and get ready for this really important election year. And you mentioned some of the things. I wanted to remind everybody, coming up this Monday is our one of three annual Distinguished Service Award dinners we do. And we had the unfortunate occurrence this week of the honoree passing away. He's been ill for some time, and unfortunately he passed away, but we're still going to honor him with a dinner. A gentleman whose name is Odell Wellborn. He ran for Congress, United States Congress in Georgia, and was a big party supporter in Collier County. We want to honor Odell for a lifetime of service to the Democrat Party. We're doing that Monday night. It's not going to be a sad and somber affair. We're going to celebrate his life. That'll be a part of the event. And then, of course, Dick Nojay with Habitat for Humanity is going to make a presentation. We're going to have a wonderful big buffet dinner. There'll be all kind of things going on. We're going to have raffles. We're doing a big cruise this fall as a fundraiser. We want to invite all Democrats in Collier County to come out to the club meeting. It's at Lakewood Country Club, which is off Lakewood Boulevard in East Naples, Monday night, 6 o'clock. Bring a $20 bill for the buffet dinner. It's all casual. Bring your friends. Bring independents with you. We don't care who you bring. We welcome everybody at our meetings. They're open meetings. We expect about 150 Democrats to show up for this one, as they always do. It's going to be an incredible night. Julie Uresti is going to be there, and you mentioned her earlier, our new candidate for Collier County Commission. And I was talking to Julie the other day, and we were talking about the fact that the Hispanic community in Southwest Florida is just growing incredibly fast. The Hispanic community plays a huge role in everyday life in Collier and Lee County, and yet they're not represented anywhere in our government. So this is a real opportunity for the Hispanic community to come out and get involved and elect Julie, who is an incredible Mexican woman that has accomplished so much in her lifetime. She deserves to be on County Commission. So just wanted to run those things by you, guy, and let you know that there's a lot of great things happening, and I'll give the Guy James Show for credit for a lot of this. You've been, over the last couple of years, very supportive of the clubs and local activities, as well as, of course, of the national talking points and everything else coming out of Washington. You're on top of those things. If you're a Democrat club around the country, I hope you're doing the same things we're doing in Collier County. We've seen our membership grow from under 100 to nearly 400. We've seen our resources just go crazy. We've seen independents walking into headquarters all the time now and switching their party registration and joining up with the Democrat Party, getting on the bandwagon. We've even seen Republicans do the same thing. And I think Guy James Show's had an awful lot to do with it, and just wanted to run that by you, Guy.
Well, Gene, thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on that. You're exactly right. People around the country need to get involved in their local Democratic club. That's where all the work gets done. And we need to work and roll up our sleeves and get going on this, because you know the Republicans are, and we need to be just as active or more so than they are. Gene, thanks so much for your call.
You bet. You keep up the good work. And folks out there, you know, our club supports the Guy James Show. We send a check every month. I want, and I challenge all the Democrat clubs and all the DECs in Southwest Florida to do the same thing. Thank God for the Guy James Show. We want to keep it going. I want to make sure that all the clubs support the Guy James Show. And if you're in a Democrat club in some other part of the country and you have a good Democrat talk show in your market, if you're fortunate enough to have one, send them a check now and then support them. Let's keep this going.
Thank you, Gene.
You bet.
Oh, my. Coming up on the top of their second hour already. I don't know where the time goes. It's surely slipping away today. We've got a lot more to talk about before the end of this program. Many, many things that we're happy about, some things we're not happy about. Hey, I'm happy the way the things are going for us politically right now. I think we're doing a good job. I think the polls look good for us, but we got to keep our nose to the grindstone, and we will, and we'll help you do that right here on America's best liberal Democratic talk show, the Guy James Show. You're listening to WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news. You come on back with us now, you hear?
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Power Talk.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
You are listening to the one and only Guy James Show, liberal democratic talk coming from southern Florida. Yes, it's true. We're actually doing it. Can you believe that? My, oh my, oh my. What a surprise to some of the folks. What a surprise. Lots to talk about this last hour. We've got so much to get in, and I don't know how we're going to do it as usual. We've got more talk than time, but I hope that takes care of itself someday. I really do. All of our loyal listeners that listen to this show, if you get a chance to plug us to get in with one of these networks so we can get our message out to a bigger audience, get a bigger drum, why, give them a yell. Let them know all about the Guy James Show. Although, we've done a pretty good job of that. I think everybody does know who we are across the country, all the media, anyway, that does radio. Right now, I want to go to the incomparable New York Bureau, a man that needs no introduction, a man that's putting on one fine show called the Question W Review, going to be live on the Laura Flanders Show tonight on Air America at 9:30. Don't you dare miss it. Jeff, the New York Bureau.
Well, I'm not sure I can live up to that introduction.
You have to.
Suffice to say that I'm doing this with an ensemble of four amazing actors, an amazing musical director, and a wonderful director. So you're not doing it alone. But we had a very nice opening. We had torrential rain in New York on our opening night, which kind of kept the house down, but we filled it up the next night, and people went out going, I'm coming back, I'm bringing people. So we feel very good. Very good indeed.
Excellent. We expect to see a video sometime this fall when you get a chance.
There will be, and I can send you down a cassette of the live recording that we're going to be using to say a little bit of the show on Air America tonight.
Wonderful. And, you know, we'd come and see it, but our private jet, it hadn't arrived yet.
Well, maybe it'll arrive by August.
Maybe.
I mean, you do understand that I scheduled this show for Tuesdays and Wednesdays, so it would not interrupt your broadcast schedule.
What more could I ask?
I mean, you know, that was the rationale.
Excellent.
Anyway, I had one more little tidbit on the Fox News outfoxed MoveOn.org. Did you read that MoveOn is filing legal papers against Fox for the use of fair and balance?
Oh yeah, over the use of fair and balance. now that's going to put Fox in a position that they're going to have to prove they're fair and balanced.
That seemed to be the gist of it.
Well, they're toast if they have to do that. There's no way.
We have a good time roasting Fox in the show as well. We have an 8-minute medley of where we attack the media.
Well, how much more embarrassed could they be than this past week or so ago I love that story. The New York Post had its front page with Gebhardt, the headlines, Gebhardt being chosen, and then it turns out that Rupert Murdoch himself was the guy that did that. I found that absolutely stunning. He's the guy that did it. It's amazing.
I wish I'd had the presence of mind to run out and buy 10 copies. I could have paid the rent off by selling them on eBay. That was great. Well, I know you have a busy board there today. I just wanted to thank you for the support, and I'll give you a further report next week. And Fit 30 Minutes preview, Air America, tonight at 9:30.
Everybody's going to be listening.
I'll be interested to check the threads when I get home.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to demand a report from everybody. Everybody's going to have to send a critique to me, so I will know exactly how many people actually did it.
All right, guy, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir. Book reports from everybody tomorrow. Question W review reports. I want you to send me email, guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com, and let me know what you thought of Question W on the Laura Flanders Show tonight. And for all you local folks, that's airamericaradio.com. You can go there and click listen, and you can hear him at 9:30 on Laura Flanders. By the way, phone calls, 888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got the board lit up. 479-5540 for locals. We hope you will give us a call. And my goodness, we haven't heard from any of our Republican friends today. They either have abandoned us or I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. What do you think? Well, we're going to go back to the phones. We got Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, I hear you want to talk about Corrine Brown.
I sure do. Hi, Guy. First, I'd like to congratulate Jeff on his show.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that outstanding that she stood up and she talked about the disenfranchisement? Of course, it was terrible what they did to her.
I tried everything to get my CD burner to burn a copy of that today, and I couldn't get the stupid thing to work, and so I came in and just have to depend on other people to tell them exactly what happened.
I am disappointed that nobody picked up where she left off and went one by one right after her, you know? I mean, she really, really told them. It was the truth.
Well, how many times have you seen that? I don't know, I guess I'll say it, yellow stripes down the middle of their back,
right,
from Democrats, and that's pitiful.
It's absolutely horrible. And we've got to get some people with some backbone. I mean, these people aren't playing fair. They're not playing nice. And anybody who thinks they are, people have to stop being an ostrich about everything, sticking their head in the sand and thinking, well, the other guy will do it. Because you know what? We are the guys who are going to do it. We are the cavalry. We're the ones who are going to have to stand up and say, tell you that.
Well, and hey, I happen to know some folks in Congress that I know they feel the same way she does. You know, you take, now, I don't mean this as a direct attack on him, but, you know, a guy that's not afraid to speak out at all is Sherrod Brown from Ohio.
Right.
And Sherrod's never, never shy about saying what he'd be like. Why didn't he stand up and Sherrod? Shame on you. You should have backed her.
Same way with Jim McDermott. I don't know where Jim McDermott was that particular day. I want to congratulate you for something.
What's that?
You had played that clip. You know, I hunted everywhere about it.
Oh, yeah.
I sent it to Helen Thomas. Helen Thomas wrote me back. And
about what I learned in Vietnam?
Right, right, right. Helen Thomas says, oh, I'm going to look into this. So then I sent the clip to a veterans broadcasting that's broadcasting all around the world, and they're playing it every 10 minutes.
Hey.
Every 10 minutes. They have one of those little 365 live stations. Then they went on up, got a pro station. It's called Veterans Broadcasting. I was so angry when I heard that last week. I thought, by golly, you know, I'm just going to send that out to everybody I know. And right after they play it, they never make a commentary. They play things like Liar, Liar, and I Started a Joke, and then the Chain of Fools, that always comes on right after it, you know, after they play it. And I was just having a ball after I sent the guy's name is Corman. He was in Vietnam. And he's playing that every 10 minutes.
Excellent. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, give a listen to this.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confight a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
You cannot confight. What I learned in Vietnam, I tell you.
You know, it blows so many of the veterans away, and they said, and Helen Thomas said, well, you know, I haven't heard that. She wrote me back, and she said, but I'm going to check into it. And what was, I would like to think that you and I and the rest of the DUers, all we had a little bit of input on AP saying, okay, let's go after some more records. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
I'd like to think that. But I do think that Corrine Brown, I did send her a letter and tell her I thought that she was magnificent, because we all know that Florida was so disenfranchised. But I'm really concerned about Georgia, because, you know, we have Ralph Reed here, and We have so many weird things going on in Georgia. I mean, we have the biggest contributor. I think the think tank of the headquarters on how to steal it may be actually located in Georgia. So,
well, you got Nudie, you got Bob Barr, you got the infamous Sex Bechambliss.
Absolutely.
Who'd you just mention a minute ago? Gary Bauer, does he live in Georgia?
Ralph Reed.
Yeah, you got a slew of them there, girl.
Yeah, we do. We got Zell Miller setting up shop, and then, you know, the Diebold thing coming in with, you know, it's worrying me. You know, I'm thinking, well, if the October surprise comes, it'll probably come right out of the think tank in Georgia. Because, and the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, who we know is all right wing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Didn't Bush just appoint somebody to the 11th Circuit?
I'm not up on that one. I'm really not. I could sit here and BS somebody, but I'm really not. And
I'm not either. But I know that he sneaks them in the back door during recess. You know.
Yeah.
Wasn't Pickering was put in somewhere in
another insult to the NAACP that
absolutely.
I talked about early in the show.
I listened to the Dr. King "I Have a Dream" speech last night, and I think that oh my goodness, I wish we had a leader such as this today, and he was such a magnificent speaker, and I just know he was turning over in his grave over being insulted by a president in such a way.
Isn't it something that in that particular era in history that we had some very charismatic people that for the black community, for the white community, and President Kennedy? It's interesting that those two careers happen to coincide.
I would like to challenge everyone who is outspoken and who's a free thinker, and most people who listen to this show are, except for a few of those right wing people who call in and who have drank the Kool-Aid. You too can be another Dr. King, maybe not as powerful, but you can make a big input. One person can make a difference. Think of him as Mr. Potter over there in It's a Wonderful Life, and we're all a bunch of George Baileys. So I would like to tell everybody, make a difference, take a stand, contribute to shows like this, contribute to DU, contribute, listen folks, we really need the Guy James show. And, you know, make a stand, write your congressman. When people do things like Congressman Brown, let her know it's important.
Exactly. It is important.
And you keep up the good work. And, again, thank you so much for the show, Guy.
Thank you, Amanda. I'll be going right back to the phones. I just want to tell you about some friends of mine over at the Macintosh bookstore. You know, there's nothing like a neighborhood bookstore. Some of the big guys try to recreate them or to minimize them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a new virtual copy, but neither one comes close. One of our favorites is the oldest bookstore on Sanibel Island, the Macintosh bookstore. It's a genuine old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only a part of the museum's historic town exhibit. But on Sanibel, it's a real, thriving, not virtual, a flesh-and-blood store. Macintosh is operated by Jim Dowling, a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who's as unique as the store itself. And the first step inside tells you this is someplace special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors and first edition books, or maybe it's the wide variety of titles and subjects to choose from. Also, nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate. One can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those on the other side of the fence. Currently, for our listeners, they're carrying Molly Ivins and Bill Clinton and Al Franken, Michael Moore, Jim Hightower, and others. And they're also bestsellers for easy summer reading, children's books, gifts, and cards. And Macintosh is the place for books on nature, birding, and shelling. When you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at Macintosh. You can also order online at www.sanibelbooks.com. So stop by. Even if you don't buy anything, you're always welcome to come in and take a look at a real bookstore. That's the Macintosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way, Sanibel Island, Florida. So glad to have those folks on our side. And you can be on our side. You can call the program right now, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. We'd be glad to take a call from you, local here, 479-5540. Let's go to the phones right now, and let's talk to John in Nashville.
Hi, Guy.
Howdy.
Thanks for taking my call. Hi. I think I've got a theory to offer on some of George Bush's statements pertaining to his service in Vietnam that he talks about.
Yeah,
I think that during that time when he was actually AWOL from the Air National Guard, he was actually on secret missions to Vietnam. He was trying to get him addicted to cocaine and alcohol, but it didn't work. So he had to come back but I think I put it all together and I think that's how it actually worked out. Actually, the thing I wanted to talk about is one of the difference between the two parties. I mean, we Democrats have had. I don't know if you call them defectors, it may be too strong a word. I think most Democrats think it's too strong a word. You've got Joe Lieberman and Zell Miller and some of the others who have aligned themselves more with the Bush administration than they have with the platform of their own party. And, all right, well, that's part of the diversity of politics. We Democrats seem to absorb that. But let one Republican jump ship, like Jeffords, or John McCain when he stopped towing the party line.
Oh yeah.
And now Ronald Reagan Jr. who's going to address the Democratic Party and see what happens, see what that party does. They get very, very vicious. I mean, it's not pretty what they do when one of their own decides not to walk in lockstep behind the leadership.
They've got as good attack machine that I've ever seen in politics.
Oh, and the way that the House leadership particularly is behaving now is pretty interesting. They took a vote on the House floor to, and I'm sure you know about this too, to pull back a couple of the measures in the Patriot Act, particularly tracing people's library, the books that they're checking out of the library and the books they're buying in bookstores through computer channels and. It went for a vote on, and there was a prelim. The first head count showed that it was going to, that the measure was going to win in the House. But then the House leadership held the vote open for 20 extra minutes while the whips and their deputies went around the chamber twisting arms. And finally, it came out to an even vote. I think it was somewhat 210.
210 to 210. Which is a victory for their side.
Right, and of course everyone's crying foul on that. This just shows a party that is, it's like an animal trapped in a corner. It's ready to lash out at anything that can be perceived as threatening in any way.
They did the same thing over that 3 a.m. Vote on the Medicare bill when they threatened their own people with helping opponents to raise money. You know, they threatened that gentleman from Michigan over the same thing, and threatened to withdraw their support from his son who was running for his seat. I mean, they've got no compunction about going after their own people.
Well, it's true. I mean, I know that during the Johnson administration, that was the way that that he was that way a lot, getting people in rooms and twisting arms. But with that exception, I think the Democrats are pretty good and pretty accepting. Maybe not always happy. Probably never happy when someone breaks ranks on an issue or in something larger than that. They take it. They take it on the chin and they move forward. But the Republicans, it's like they'll take every measure they possibly can to make that person sorry for ever having stepped outside the ranks.
They will, and they have, and they'll continue to do so. They're going to keep their power at any cost. We've got to work hard in this election. Hey, John, thanks so much.
Thank you. Calling
us from Nashville, one of my very favorite cities in the United States. I love Nashville. We're going to go to, we're going to go to Scott in Port Charlotte, Florida. That's north of here for you folks that don't live around here.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my phone call. At long last, a Democrat. I'm glad to hear it. A couple of points I want to make. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. Point number one, as far as Kerry is concerned, I would like him to go ahead and tell the people of the United States that he's going to stop the revolving door from politicians leaving the government and going with lobbyists. My understanding is that Bro, who's retiring, he's making like $180,000 a year. He's going to be working on lobbyists and getting $2.2 million a year. That has got to stop.
Absolutely, Scott. I agree so much. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. It's wrong. It's dead wrong. They ought to put like a 5-year limit on it. That you know, just like a non competing clause in a business. You get out of Congress, you cannot under any circumstances lobby for anybody for a period of at least 5 years.
But the point, sir, is this. By executive order, since he essentially is in charge of four federal employees, including the House and the Senate, by executive order, he can say, as of this moment, January the 1st, 1905, or whatever the date, you know, 2005, he can say, you can't do that. It's all over, and I got big flash for you. People, the average person, will be falling on their knees to vote for John Kerry. That's the way I feel about it. May I make another comment?
Certainly.
Okay. Another thing that we have to do is we don't play with Medicare. Medicare, the consisting Medicare right now is a joke. What he should be doing, and a Democrat should be doing, is let's repeal the whole thing. 72 cards are out there for the average public who is petrified about changing the medicine. It's my understanding that of the 72 cards that are out there, only four of them are in the major wholesale business. Can I mention a name?
Sure.
Okay. Merck Medco, for argument's sake, can buy drugs by the carload. GlaxoSmithKline, I believe, is the name. They can do that. But you know something? My understanding is a guy from the corner drugstore can issue one of these cards. This is insane.
Yeah.
But this is written in the bill. And the business about the Democrats, and I got the names of them, 11 signed for this bill to elect this horror thing called the Medicare Act. They should be tarred and feathered. And to have Feinstein go ahead and says, I'm for the American public, when she signed this thing, is a bad, bad thing. Repeal the whole thing. And guess what? Only two articles have appeared as of March of last year. $1.3 trillion got sucked out of the Medicare to go to HMOs. Did you hear what I said?
Yep.
$1.3 trillion. I don't hear a Democrat talking about it. I don't hear a Democrat making the noise.
The money's too big. Everybody's just sucking up the money for campaign contribution. It's wrong. It's wrong. I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans. I hate it.
Yeah, but my dear friend, I'm sorry, I can I call you Guy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My problem is this. Unless we can get the Democrats angry, we're going to get nowhere. That's the whole point. The Republicans have been angry for 8 years.
They have.
We have to get angry back. We should not tolerate this thing. Have you gone to see Fahrenheit 9/11?
Oh, yes. Saw it on opening night.
No. Question, sir, there is only one brief second, and I timed it. It was 38 seconds in which somebody had profanity. But you know something? You get more profanity coming out of the Godfather than you do on that set, and they rated it with the movie, and they rated it R.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that insane?
That's right. That's right. They tried everything they could to stop it. Whether anybody likes Michael Moore or not, you got to give him credit. He did a number on him with that movie. There's no doubt about it. And it was right and it was correct and he really got that movie out, and I'm proud of him for doing so.
But you realize how to go? He had to go ahead when Walt Disney refused to release it, and a releasing company is a big thing today.
Okay.
The people had to invent lying gauge distributors just to distribute it. That should make people angry.
Well, I think Disney probably now, if they had to do it over again, they see all that money that it took in, they're probably kicking themselves. It was nothing. You know, they didn't want to offend Jeb Bush here, who Disney, you know, he's
sure.
They're a big thing to Jeb Bush here, and they take care of each other, so they didn't want to offend him. But I'm sure there's some wistful talk going on in the boardroom. Say, oh my, I wish we'd have taken in that money. Scott, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Hey, I better. I think I better pause for a break right here. Okay, we got a couple of messages to get in. You're listening to Guy James Show, the number one Democratic liberal talk show in America, and you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Guy James Show.
Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Legendary athlete Eric Weinmayer, the first blind person to climb Mount Everest, believes that literacy lets you reach the summit of your dreams.
That's why I've joined with Verizon Reads and the American Foundation for the Blind in an important initiative that will assure equal access to textbooks among children whose only limitation is their inability to see.
To find out more, call 800-232-5463 or visit VerizonReads.net or AFB.org.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neild, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neild, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information, plus today's most powerful talk program. Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour, plus the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News and CNBC Business Reports. Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed, you are listening to the Guy James Show. You can give us a call. We've still got about a half hour left in the program. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And locally, you can call us at 479-5540. I don't know how many of you saw Now last night with Bill Moyers. Always a must-see on Friday night. It comes on at 9:30. And if you go away without seeing Now with Bill Moyers, you have missed something. Always a great program. I don't care. Week in, week out, they get down to it. And they do wonderful programming, and everybody ought to see it. They really ought to. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got a couple of lines open. If you're in Collier County, 263-6570, and in Lee County, 479-5540. Last night on the Now Show, they talked about a company called Coke, spelled K-O-C-H. And I don't know how many of you have heard that name. Do you know that name? It's a huge oil company, privately owned by a couple of brothers, who donate huge sums of money to the Republicans. And when oil is $40 a barrel, and the president and vice president of the United States are both oil men taking barrels of cash from companies like Coke and Enron and others, just who do you think old Bush Jr. and Cheney are going to represent? It's not you, the people. That's a fact. And I'll bet all of our Republican friends are going to say that they're representing them, but they are not. If you do say that, any that say that are just kidding themselves. They're not representing the people, but representing the big oil interests. Bush and Cheney are absolutely beholden to the energy companies like no other administration in our history. And it ought to be evident to even the most blinded right-wing voter. I don't know how anyone could possibly come to any other conclusion. Did you know that these oil companies have 882 offshore companies in countries that don't even have oil? Liechtenstein and Bermuda and some of those places don't even have oil. Now let me ask you a couple of questions, and somebody just answer me that. Why would an oil company have offshore companies in places where there's no oil? I mean, do you know that? It's entirely legal, all right. It is legal. The lobbyists have made damn sure to pour enough money into the Republicans' pockets so the laws will favor them doing virtually anything they want to. You know, if you've got a law that doesn't favor your company, just hire yourself one of the Republican legislators, and they'll get it. Get the law changed for you. They really will. But why would all these American companies have so many offshore divisions? You guessed it, taxes. They don't have to pay their fair share of taxes. They buy themselves a few good Republican politicians and get repaid many, many, many times over. Coke, for example, has donated over $4 million, 100% of it to Republicans over the last few years, and they've realized hundreds of millions of dollars recouped off of taxes because of that investment. You know, tell me, my Republican friends, when one of these huge energy companies doesn't pay their fair share of taxes to keep the country running, who makes up the difference? Who do you think? Joe Sixpack, average voter, makes up the difference. That's who. You and I pay for it. That's who pays for it. And, you know, it's important that people realize that companies like this Coke, you know, they're the biggest oil company that you've never heard of. And like I said, they're a private company. They had a revenue of about $40 billion last year. They're bigger than Microsoft, Merrill Lynch, and AT&T, and yet it's a company you've never heard of, most of you. They're the fourth biggest campaign oil and gas industry giver behind Chevron, Texaco, El Paso Corp, and Enron. And despite its size and political largesse, Coke is able to dodge the limelight because it's privately held, which means that nearly all of its business dealings are known only by the company and the Internal Revenue Service. They've got no stockholders to report to. In fact, it's the second largest private company in the country, trailing only food processing giant Cargill. I know the Mars Candy Company is another big, huge, privately held company. I don't know why I threw that in there. But, you know, they prefer to operate in private when it comes to politics and government, but they're heavily, heavily involved in some of these Republican think tanks, the Cato Institute, the Reason Foundation, Citizens for a Sound Economy, and the Federalist Society. All those outfits beat the drum in official Washington for the causes that people like the Coke Company hold dear: minimal government, deregulation, and free market economics. And for the Cokes, conservative and libertarian views are really a family tradition. In fact, their predecessor even helped established a right-wing outfit called the John Birch Society. You know, and they're able to buy so much influence. Let me give you an example. Charles Koch found himself under investigation. Listen closely to this. Charles Koch found himself under investigation by the United States Senate for his alleged role in funding so-called issue ads that helped conservative Republican congressional candidates in 1996. Nothing came of it. And he's had plenty of run-ins with government regulators and other legal problems. Well, let's take a look at this one. 3 months after the Bush administration took office, Koch... Well, let's start. In the Clinton administration, they were about to leave office. Koch was hit with a 97-count indictment under the Clinton administration for covering up the discharge of more than 15 times the legal limit of benzene, a carcinogen, from a refinery in Corpus Christi, Texas. The company faced penalties of more than $350 million. Four Coke employees were also charged individually and faced up to 35 years in prison. Well, guess what? 3 months after the Bush... Three months into the Bush administration, and just before the lawsuit went to trial, the Justice Department all of a sudden settled the case. They were faced with $350 million in fines. They had to pay $20 million, nothing to them. And they plead guilty to a single count of concealment of information. None of them went to prison. All the charges were dropped, blah, 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 blah. Nothing happened to them. And in another case, Koch was sued by the government in 1995 and 1997 over a reported 300 oil spills at pipelines owned and operated by their company. And those lawsuits sought from $71 to $214 million in penalties for the spills. On January 13, 2000, the government settled the case for $35 million in fines. Over and over and over again, they've had big legal troubles, and nothing has come of it. My, 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 won't those contributions, campaign contributions, buy you something nice? Won't they, though? Dick in Naples, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy, thanks for taking my call. It's been a while.
Well, it's good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, sir. I don't know. I've been listening to you on and off all afternoon, Guy. I had some things I had to do, and I'm in and out of the house, and now I'm back in my car. I was wondering whether you read that article, I think it was Thursday, published in the New York Times, in reference to what the editor of the paper thought was a game plan that the Bushes were going to implement prior to the election. try to get rid of Cheney?
Oh, bring in another doctor? Was that the one where they're going to try and bring in another doctor?
They're going to bring in another doctor to say he was in ill health and that he really shouldn't run for re-election. He's about to have his 27th heart attack, and that he's either going to bring in Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell. I don't think either one of them want it, but, of course, not trying to tell him how to run their campaign. He'd have a better shot with Giuliani, I think, than the two aforementioned.
Even McCain.
Well, I don't think McCain would do that. I don't think he doesn't want to be vice president. He wanted to be president, and of course he couldn't technically say that he was asked by Kerry to be his running mate, although he was asked, I'm sure. And he probably would have been something that would have set the political agenda upside down in this country. It might have been something that this country needs. And the Bush administration has Osama bin Laden in custody, and they're going to release him sometime in September. I don't believe that either.
Well, the Pakistanis have come out, high officials in the Pakistani military have come out and said that the Americans have really put the heat on him to come up with him by the time of the Democratic convention. I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. It just makes you sick, and I tell you, I really got to commend you for something that you're the only... liberal talk show hosts in the country, and there certainly aren't many of you, that pointed out the flip-flopping that that Bush has done since he's been in office, and even some of the stuff he's done while he was governor of Texas.
Dick, these guys amaze me. First of all, they attack Kerry on his military record, and we've been through that, but they attack him on his military record when Bush has got all sorts of military record trouble, and then they come out with this flip-flopping thing, which Bush is the king of the flip-flopping. I can't believe their audacity.
Well, the other thing, too, is they want to distort Kerry's Purple Horse in the time they went to Vietnam, but you know the difference between Bush and Kerry? Kerry was there, and Bush was hiding under a rock in Texas. And the other thing that irritates me to no end is about 3 years ago when Bush was running for president, he told all the reporters they can ask him any questions he wants, but he will not answer one question as to what he did before his 28th birthday. In other words, his womanizing, his drug, he was supposed to, or allegedly, sniffing coke, and we know that he was AWOL for a year out of the Air National Guard in Alabama when he was transferred there. And but we can go back to the Kerry's childhood and just tear him apart.
And go on
his record for 19 years. They call him a liberal. Well, he's from Massachusetts. Isn't most of the state of Massachusetts relatively liberal? I mean, what has he supposed to have been?
Boy, they're beating that one to death, aren't they? Those liberals. Oh, my. Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. Those liberals, they'll get you.
Well, I got to tell you, down here in Naples, you live in a predominantly conservative area, and most of my friends are Republicans, and they're conservative. And I guess it's awful difficult for me to discuss politics with them, because that's the quickest way to make enemies down here is a voice and opinion. You know, we forget about the First Amendment to the Constitution. You start voicing an opinion other than, a right-wing opinion down here, and then they want to cut your head off. It's amazing.
Well, Dick, I got to tell you, I get an awful lot of email, and I'm getting quite a bit of email lately from firsthand stories that my father, my cousin, my brother has been a lifelong Republican and cannot stomach voting for Bush again. I've got many stories from people themselves saying I've voted Republican for most of my life, and I'm going to switch and vote for Kerry. I'm hearing a lot of those stories.
Well, I tell you, it just makes you sick. This day and age, especially, we've got to have the right people in the White House, or this country's going to go down the tubes. The most 2-0 president that he's had in my lifetime, and I'm in my mid-60s. And I'll say one more thing.
Sure.
In the history of our country, we're 227 years old, I believe, and thereabout. And the first time in our country we ever declared war on a foreign nation. I mean, we could protect our country when we're hitting Pearl Harbor, over in Bosnia-Herzegovina. We've gone over there to defend people. We've done it all over the world. We've occupied Korea since the Korean War, Germany, and Japan since World War II. But this is the first time for oil, and just tell his dear old dad, don't worry, Dad, I'll get this guy for you once I'm elected. It just makes you sick that these politicians can get away with this.
Absolutely. Dick, thanks so much for your call. Well-informed call, as always. Good to have you back.
Well, thank you.
Keep listening.
Yep.
You know, it's really interesting, so many of these things coming to the light. How many, you know, you talk about dirty politics, dirty, rotten, low-down, weasel political tactics. Of course, all of you know what I think of Dick Armey, but here's a guy that's, you know, he's left office, can't leave well enough alone. He now heads a conservative anti-tax group called Citizens for a Sound Economy. Lifelong Republican, held as a Republican, held office for many, many years. He said Edwards represents a well-connected swarm of trial lawyers who twist our legal system to pillage the productive sector for personal gain. And when asked by if he had evidence that Edwards had actually engaged in wrongdoing as a lawyer, whether he had brought frivolous lawsuits, engaged in inappropriate forum shopping, or committed any of the other abuses of which some lawyers stand accused, he said, no, I haven't fully looked into that. Our focus has been on policy, and we wouldn't get involved in his personal history. You know, these people are so dirty, rotten, underhanded. How many times have you heard in the past week or two, trial lawyer, getting rich, trial lawyers representing the, you know, making millions of dollars. John Edwards made a name for himself representing a little girl. And I won't get graphic about what happened, but she was in a swimming pool accident, something that never should have happened, and had an accident in a swimming pool that literally tore out her insides. It was going to take monumental money and time to take care of this girl for the rest of her life. And John Edwards, what else were that family going to do? John Edwards represented him and got them a decent settlement to where this family can give this girl the care that she needs. He got it. He got the verdict going against big corporate lawyers defending this company against where they were wrong. You know, and you've got these Republicans over there, trial lawyer, you're damn right. You're damn right. A lot of people need a trial lawyer now and then to represent them against the huge corporations that fill your coffers with campaign donations so they won't have to pay out money when they're wrong. John Edwards is a trial lawyer, and I'm damn proud he is, because he stood for the little guy when he's done his trial, his cases, he's represented the little guy. Who else is going to do it against the big Republican corporate lawyers? You call him a trial lawyer all you want to. I think he wears that as a badge of honor, as well he should. Jolinda in California, glad to have you with us.
Hi, Guy. I haven't talked to you in a long time. A couple of things. First of all, I'd like to put in my pick on the F.U. Dick bowing out pool. I think he's going to clutch his chest at some opportune moment on camera.
On camera?
Yes, and he'll be hospitalized.
Ooh.
And he'll be released from the hospital about 5 minutes before John Kerry accepts the nomination. And then we'll have this split screen with the doctor standing out in front, you know, talking about his condition, and poor John Kerry trying to compete in the little tiny corner up at the top. But that's not why I called.
So you know, I got a comment on that, though, Jolinda.
Yes.
I didn't think there was anybody that was more cynical about these folks than I am.
Oh, no, put anything past it.
But I think you just did a good one right there.
I think that's what, well, you know, we had the O.J. split screen, so why not have the F.U. Dick split screen? The reason I called is, I know a lot of your people in California come from the Rust Belt. Florida. I'm in California, duh. And if there are any Wisconsin people down there that have family in Wisconsin, they need to get on the phone and start pounding some points home to these people in Wisconsin. There's a guy in the 1st District. His name is Paul Ryan. He's a congressman. I don't know if you know about what he did. He gave a speech at an outfit. He quoted in an publication called the BCG Insider Newsletter. It's Volume 3, Edition 4, for July of 2004. And the basic text of his speech is that, blah, 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 this election is the most important in decades. It will determine if we return to the undesirable history of Social Security and Medicare and other defined benefits. Social Security and Medicare are based on collectivism. This election will determine whether we continue to move to a society built on individual responsibility. Now, where have we heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
And he also advocates that IRA and health savings accounts should define the future for medical needs, and that employers should facilitate access, not provide benefits. There's that access word again.
Yep.
So this little guy is obviously going to be running for re-election, and I emailed to the DNC up in or the Democratic Party offices in Wisconsin the text of this, and hopefully they'll do an ad. If the Republicans love to do scare ads, I'm sure there are people in Wisconsin who aren't going to be too happy when they lose Medicare and Social Security and their employer paid benefits or provided benefits. So that that's not looking good, and that's the model they want to go for all of us. You know, just too bad you're out of luck.
Absolutely.
But also, have you noticed that Iraq is totally a non-story now?
Oh yeah, I mean that was the idea all along.
Yeah,
get it off the pages.
Negroponte's in there now, and he's covering everything up and keeping everything quiet. And now we have Martha, and pretty soon we'll have Scott, and then we'll have Kobe, and it's just kind of grim out there. I don't know. And the Sharks aren't even cooperating this year, so they have to drum up something else.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we had the terror alert.
Yeah, well, you know, we always have terror alert.
Yeah, well, anytime they need to divert attention away from it, they bring up one of those babies.
Oh, and also our little boy Schwarzenegger, he's having all kinds of problems. I'm sure you've heard about that. He's mad at the Democrats because they won't acquiesce to his two demands that they quit giving money to state money to those union truck drivers or union bus drivers. Shame on those union school bus drivers. They want to put it out for the lowest bid, and the same thing for the food workers in the schools. They want that to go to the lowest bid too.
Yeah, he's starting to finally run into the reality of politics in California.
Would you really want your kid riding on a school bus to the lowest bidder?
I wouldn't want my daughter riding on a lowest bitter school bus sitting beside Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And eating lowest bitter food? I mean, that's the food probably prisoners don't want. The leftover prison food they can give to the kids.
I'd want to keep all my girl relatives away
anyway,
from...
Anyway, he's going to hold his breath and turn blue and huff and puff and scream and holler, but...
Yeah, well...
Anyway, you have a great day.
Hey, thanks for your call, Jalinda. I really appreciate it.
Next time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, I do want to acknowledge that I got a great letter from a gentleman named Martin Freed up in Fairbanks, Alaska. I always love hearing from the Alaskan folks, and he wrote a great letter to the editor, to the Fairbanks News Miner that was published on July 1st. And I don't have time to read it all today. I'm going to see if I can get it put up on the website because I thought it was very, very well done. It's about the Reagan Memorial, and you know what I thought about some of that. If Paul Wellstone would have been acknowledged the way that Reagan was, even considering one was a president and one was a senator, I think the Republicans would have gone nuts. But anyway. My. We've had an interesting show today. We've had a lot to talk about, and we never, ever seem to get to the bottom of everything we want to talk about. I wanted to talk a lot today about this intelligence story that the Republicans are trying to recycle now. The Senate Select Committee has concluded that the United States went to war on the basis of false claims, but really... If you think about it closely and get all the facts under your belt, this is precisely the spin that the Bush administration wants to give to the Senate report. That's what they want everybody to believe, that poor Bush was misled. And when he decided to go to war, it was all based on what the CIA told him about weapons of mass destruction that they had no idea, and so gee whiz, poor Mr. Bush was taken advantage of there. You know, they forget to mention all the instances of the Bush administration with this OSP and these other people massaging the intelligence to get what they wanted to say. This didn't have a whole lot to do with the actual intelligence. In my opinion, this had a lot to do with the way the intelligence looked after the Bushes got done with it. These are big boys we're talking about, see? They weren't fooled. They weren't fooled at all. They knew what they set out to have all those things in intelligence say, and they massaged it till they got to where it was they wanted it, and then they put it forth as the gospel. And it was a shameful, shameful thing, and now they're putting all the spin on it. It's an amazing thing. And I tell you, they just... And one other thing I wanted to mention today. How would you feel? I read this story by Dick Cheney about Patrick Lee. And Cheney, let's see, what did it say? It wasn't just the aspersions cast on his integrity. This is out of the Washington Times, and all of you know about the Washington Times, the Reverend Moon newspaper. it wasn't just the, and it says, and I'll quote him, it wasn't just the aspersions cast on his integrity that caused Vice President Dick Cheney to curse Senator Patrick Leahy last month on the Senate floor. Mr. Cheney told a C-SPAN interviewer this week, and I quote, well, my setu with Senator Leahy was, I'd say it was a private moment. The Senate wasn't in session. We were waiting to take our picture, but he had challenged my integrity, and I didn't like that. Mr. Cheney told Steve Scully in an interview to be aired Sunday night, and quote, but what I really didn't like was after he had done so, then he came over and he had done that in a public forum, and then he came over on the Senate, and this is the part I really like, and tried to put his arm around me and treat me as though I was his best long-lost friend, and I didn't appreciate it, and I spoke rather forcefully of what I thought about his action and then walked off. I got one thing to say about that. Patrick Leahy, I'm sorry, but what the hell is wrong with you going up and putting your arm around Dick Cheney? Come on. I mean, I'd as soon put my arm around a jackal, a hyena, any despicable character than Dick Cheney. So, Pat, I think you got what you deserved out of that deal. You had to know that that snake was going to bite you if you touched it, and you went ahead and did it anyway. I tell you, I just can't believe that Leahy would do that. You know, when you see Cheney, it's hard to believe anybody would just have any affection toward the man whatsoever. And here's a man who he's known for years and years and years, and, you know, he just goes right ahead and puts his arm around him. Well, Patrick Leahy, you're just as guilty as Cheney in that whole deal. You really are. Should you never touch a reptilian figure like that. Just don't do it. Hey, listen, we've had a good time on the show today. We've talked about a lot of things. I didn't get nearly done with all the things I wanted to talk about. But I do want to remind you and tell you that this is a listener-supported show, and we need your support to stay on the air. We're not kidding about that. And we feel it is a good program. It is the nation's number one Democratic liberal show. Who else claims to be that? And we bring you the truth every week, and we hope you'll support this show at www.theguyjamesshow.com. So keep listening. Try and support the program if you can. We appreciate it. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research Director, Michael Merritt. Production Manager, Frank Princeton. Program Coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
This is Power Talk 1200. A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neal. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neal, visit robertnealforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neal for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
On the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
A couple of western wildfires are looking better today. I'm Steve Taylor. Firefighters claimed progress against a 7,500-acre blaze in the hills above Carson City, Nevada. Fire Information Officer Diane Minyatil.